If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Radio. I am the internet icon, the pride of the pilgrims, the Reverend DJ Curly Bear, the Nature Boy, oh man! And I am joined, as always, by my right-hand man, my audio soulmate,
one-inch biceps, the power goat, bah! Yes.
Bah!
Is that any better?
I love it! I'm pumped! I'm psyched! I am going to do the first time ever in the history of In Your Head, Incher.
What are you going to do?
I haven't even told you about this. This is so secret. I was cleaning off my computer desk, and I found the original, the old school, back in the day when I met you, Incher. I used to have, for my profile pic for years, it was with that top hat and these pair of sunglasses. The Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels heart-shaped sunglasses. I found them. And I am going to host the entire program tonight in these sunglasses. No one has dared to host a podcast before in sunglasses. Never mind heart-shaped sunglasses. Until tonight, in your head, pushing the envelope, breaking boundaries. Once again, hosting a show with Heartbreak Kid heart-shaped sunglasses, Incher.
Hell yeah! This is just a this occasion. This is just very special. You're wearing sunglasses, and you're in your room, and you're doing a podcast.
The whole everything I see tonight will be rose-colored. It'll be tinted red. The whole chat room, the notes.
You mean they're not just normal sunglasses? They're red tinted.
A red heart. You remember back in the day, Intra, when we first met, when we locked eyes on each other, and you got a little flutter in your heart. You felt butterflies in the belly, and you're like, "I know this guy. I know we have a future together. We will be a couple through all eternity." And I had that picture, Intra, where I had the top hat, those heart-shaped sunglasses, and I had a little curly cue down my face.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days?
I remember those days.
Those are good days. And now they are back once again.
And you might not get angry during the show, because, like, they put, like, rose-colored sunglasses on, like, chickens, so they don't, like, fight
chicken.
Each other. Yeah.
They make sunglasses for chickens.
Yeah, so that's
like
according to the show. Yeah, little mini ones that just fit right on their beaks so they can't see blood. Because once they see blood, they want to just peck the other chicken to death.
Man, why don't they just breed them so they're all blind?
I don't know. That'd be kind of rough, I guess, to figure out how to make them blind. Rather than getting sunglasses on chickens.
I have thought for a long time, because they can do this stuff now with this thing called science. And they could, at the DNA level, they can do all kinds of craziness. So, they should breed chickens so they have 48 wings and like 20 breasts. Just stick and keep with the two legs, because not a lot of people, there aren't a lot of people like drumsticks or thighs.
So actually, they love them in my house.
Yeah, well, you're like backwards. But most people like chicken wings and breasts. So you breed a chicken that's just got like 48 wings. It doesn't matter if it can actually get around or anything, because they're just breeding them to slaughter them and eat them. So a whole bunch of breasts and a whole bunch of wings, a couple thighs and a couple drumsticks, and you're good to go.
I like how you call me backwards, and you're proposing an idea where chickens are these mutant wings and stuff.
Yeah, why not?
I was at the KFC the other day, snacking down on some Colonel's Best with my father at the KFC buffet. It is a beautiful thing. A man walked up to the buffet and he looked at the lady behind the counter and he said, "Do you have any fresh chicken gizzards?"
Oh, man. I remember when I used to take an annual trip. That means every year we would go down to South Carolina to visit my relatives. And we would drive from Massachusetts down. And when I believe it was KFC, and back in those days, you could buy, like, buckets of a fried chicken gizzards.
I guess you still can, because they were like, "Hang on, we'll get some."
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
Can around here.
You can't?
No.
Huh.
But my grandmother's a bit was big on the gizzards.
I guess they still serve them around here, so.
At the Brazilian Grill, they go crazy for the chicken hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried them once, but I was not a big fan of the chicken heart.
Yeah, I think my dad likes like the turkey heart. I think like he'll actually eat that. So.
Yeah, well, people did back in the day. That's what the giblets that you're eating in your gravy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the innards, it's the heart, liver, and kidney, and I don't know, the pancreas.
Waste not, want not.
There you go. There you go. I ate testicles not too long ago.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I know, because I fed them to you.
I actually did teabag them. I was at a fancy restaurant on the top of the casino, and they had the chef, and he had a big name, and he was like voted chef of the year, all this crazy stuff. So it's like, and you got these little tables, and they're serving you cocktails, so it's like kind of a high-class thing. But it's all weird stuff, but it's made very nice. And so we were filming it, Annabelle and I, and one of the things was Rocky Mountain oysters with some kind of funky sauce and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and I stuck my fork in, and I teabagged it for the video because I thought, when am I going to have this chance again?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was the way to go. I think that's how you should eat Rocky Mountain oysters. We'll D-bag first. But you know what, Intra?
Yes, sir.
This here, In Your Head Wrestling Radio, it is not just a show about teabagging.
And gizzards?
It's not just about gizzards. It's not just about fried chicken. This is not just about sunglasses. I think it could be. I really think we could probably just do a whole show about sunglasses, but
I don't think I own a pair of sunglasses right now.
What?
Oh, well, I don't, no.
What do you do, just like staying out and just stare into the sun?
I'm the man who stares at the sun.
Right there. Look at that there bright, bright sun up there. I'm looking right into the god.
So just because I don't own sunglasses, it makes me a moron? You're like, he stares at the sun, he's so stupid. You'll be teabagging my lovely, luscious.
You don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Oval shape.
Spit it out, boy. But anyway, it's not just a show about stuttering and mumbling. This is a show about the world of professional wrestling. And on tonight, we have the protege of one of the legendary lady wrestlers, the lady grapplers. She had wrestled at WrestleMania 10 and, of course, at the historic WrestleMania 1, which you can go and watch right now on the WWE Network, and that is Leilani Kai, former WWF Women's Champion. We will have her protege on the show, Tetevic the Gamer, and we will have her on very shortly. And if you would like to call in and talk to her yourself, you dial 508-644-8503, or you can Skype yourself in at Jack. And off.
Hell yeah. Sounds like a good time. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
But Jack, Jackie Jones,
mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you.
All right.
How is your WWE Network working for you?
Well, I've only watched one thing on. But, no, I've tried to watch the live stream.
Uh-huh.
It's fine. I've only watched a handful of things. On the computer, it works great. I've only watched a handful of things on my Roku, and everything that I've tried to watch has either just failed to load or has just stopped after, like, a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. The one thing I did watch all the way through was the NXT, quote-unquote, pay-per-view. And it stopped. Just keep it going upload like halfway through the show, and then it started working perfectly again. But so it was great for like the first half, and then I had like problems like in the middle of it, but then it worked again. But when it was working, just so clear, just the audio. It's weird. I think it's even though it's the same television, it is crisper. And the audio is better than when I'm watching on the cable.
Man.
And both of them have a HDMI cable.
Who would have figured?
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, it looks fantastic. It really couldn't look any better.
Hmm. Well, mine's been working pretty flawlessly. I've watched a few things on the PS3. Last night I watched the build-up to WrestleMania 3's main event. Hulk Hogan versus Andre, or Andre versus Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And that was a good program. Didn't have any problems loading it, but I did try to load up the main event because they streamed that live as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it told me every time I clicked on it, and I tried it a few times throughout a few hours, and it just said, a fatal error has occurred. Something is very wrong. And then it said, restart your application. I was like, my God. The something is very wrong part kind of set me off. It was like, my God, this must be really wrong. But, yeah, so I just reset the application and it was good, but I never did get main event to load.
Mm.
Which I wasn't trying to watch the live stream. I was just trying to watch, like, the video on demand thing.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe it was too early or something. I don't know. But it would not load. Everything else has worked fine for me, though.
Yeah. So it wasn't dropping loads for you?
Nope. Wasn't dropping any loads. Wasn't teabagging my videos.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't doing nothing. But, I'm pretty impressed with it so far. I do wish, like, you know, it worked for your Roku player and all that. So.
Yeah, I do sense that it's going to be like an epic failure for WrestleMania.
I'm kind of getting that feeling, too, because everybody who has this network, Dilly Bob, they will be tuning into that program.
Yes.
I mean, everybody. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, how could we not have a problem? I'll be surprised if it goes off without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
The NXT, when I was watching it, the live stream of it, like halfway through, it would like It was good through most of the show, but I noticed during, like, the women's match, every now and then it would kind of clog up a little bit, and the picture would get kind of grimy.
Right.
And then it got to the next match after that, it was like, I forget who it was, who was wrestling, but then the stream just dropped totally out, and it, like, kicked me back to the homepage. So I was like, man. I even got an email from WWE saying, like, we had problems with the stream last night, but it'll be up on the on-demand. So at least they were addressing the issues. Like, they didn't pretend like it didn't happen.
Right.
Unlike that guy in the Taliban who I was getting my pay-per-views off before.
Oh.
Or whoever he was. He had a name that sounded like he was in the Taliban.
Oh, okay.
It was like Osama something. I was like, my God.
Osama bin Laden?
It wasn't Osama bin Laden. I checked on that, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was like, let's make sure I'm not, like, funding, like, the bin Laden family. But, yeah, he had this crazy name. I even looked up, like, where he was from, and it was like, he was, like, in freaking, it was like Pakistan. I was like, man. But I don't think the WWE would go after that guy.
You think they're afraid? Maybe it was Tiger Jeet Singh.
Getting his revenge.
We were going to have him on, and then, I don't know, I guess we'll still have him on here eventually. But I just noticed him on Facebook. He had me on Facebook, and the dude is, like, friggin' jacked beyond belief now.
Man, is he wanting to make a comeback?
I don't know. He's just like, he's carved out of granite, but yet, and he's like, just massive, like unbelievably massive. He's like the warlord, but more defined warlord.
Hmm.
It's very similar to my physique when I take my shirt off.
Okay, yeah.
I do also have another announcement here, Incher.
Yes, sir.
And then we should go to break and get Tatevic on. Someone from the who's been a part of the history of In Your Head. They were on several times. They co-hosted the show once. They co-hosted a little spinoff show with me over at the Fever for a little bit. They've called in once or twice over the last couple years with some different health problems, and then he's come back. And he wants to come on the show for one last shoot interview, tell all, everything, no holds barred, the return of Brian Danovich to In Your Head.
Hmm. Huh. Nothing's off limits.
Nothing.
My God.
Tell all with Danovich.
He did have some pretty good stories about that. Back in the Deep South days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be a good one for the listeners out there.
Mm-hmm. So, everybody want you to get ready. Think of some questions you want to ask Danovich, and it'll be good to hear from the man again. And that'll probably be towards the end of the month.
Excellent.
Probably when I get back from Charlotte.
Heck yeah. Charlotte. What's going down in Charlotte? Is that the Days of the Dead?
Mad Monster Party.
Mad Monster Party. I'm going to order up a Buff Bagwell for you.
Oh, yeah. Now, he's making the cash, though. They said Buff's like, it's like $800 for 2 hours.
And it goes I think up, that's what I had to put the bill for, so.
It goes up to 25 grand for a weekend. Can you blame the guy? I mean, if you could make 25 grand to bang some broad for a whole weekend. She might be 80 or whatever. I mean, wouldn't you do it?
You think if she was 80, he tries to give her a heart attack so he can get out of there early?
Well, first he'd try to get in the will. I would suggest that to do it.
You got to work me in on your will. Because I'm Buff. I'm the stuff.
Oh,
I'm the girls. Just can't get enough.
Do you think he's only female strictly? Like you can only hire for females? Or do you think he'll do the job for the?
No, Jack. I'm ashamed of you for asking that question. Buff Bagwell is all man.
Well, you're the one who brought up that you were going to buy him for me for a weekend or a day or like 5 minutes.
Well, I just think it'd be funny if he just showed up and he's like, "I'm here."
And we played like Parcheesi.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd be $800, sir, to play this game of Monopoly.
Man. It's an expensive game of Monopoly.
Yes, but he'd do it with just the top hat on and nothing else.
What would he move his pieces with?
His hands. What, are you some kind of pervert?
No.
What do you call a black man who flies a plane?
I don't know.
A pilot. What, are you some kind of racist? Jesus.
I almost said that, but...
Well, we should go to break and get Tetevic on here.
All righty, we'll be right back, everybody. If you want to call in, 508-644-8503 or Skype in Jack in off.
Exactly.
You're on live at In Your Head. This is Taryn Terrell from the Diva Search. Make sure and get your votes in at WWE.com. Text your votes to 44993. Text my name, Taryn, T-A-R-Y-N.
All right, we're back here once again at In Your Head, and now we're joined by Tetevic, I feel horrible, the gamer.
No.
She has a beautiful name.
It's Tetevic. You almost had it right.
Yes, Tetevic. It is a beautiful name, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Nope. We had Leilani Kai on here before, and she, not too long ago, just recently, she talked about, you know, you being her protege. And how did you meet Leilani Kai?
I first met Leilani at WOW, because she was one of the trainers at WOW. And I met her through my first trainer, Steve, and we just kind of hit it off from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, had you been a fan of Leilani, like you know, her work before you got to meet her?
Man, you know what? I feel like I just came out of a cave. You know, when I met Leilani, I guess I didn't know anybody in the business,
mm-hmm.
In the wrestling business before I stepped in. So when I first met Leilani, obviously I didn't know who Leilani Kai was, and it took me a while to kind of, you know, do my research and find out that, you know, she was a brand name.
Mm-hmm. You say, you know, you said like you came out of a cave here and didn't know a lot of people in the business. What like drew you to the wrestling?
I don't know anyone.
What drew you to want to pursue wrestling in the first place?
You know what? I didn't want to pursue wrestling in the first place. I mean, it took me about a year to decide whether or not, you know, I wanted to do this. And the reason I say that is because I had other things going on for me. You know, I have a career in acting. And then I got into some acting, so and obviously training in martial arts with Sensei Benny. I already had a lot going on, and I didn't know if I would, you know, be able to take that up. And the reason why was because I didn't want it to, you know, be too much for me at the time. You know, I was taking one career at a time, and I don't know. You know, I just made a decision to go to the auditions and just try it out and see if it was something that I would enjoy. And it just, you know, it came very naturally to me, obviously, when I first hit it. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, this is up my alley.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do.
Now, you know, I know you have a background in dancing, and you said about the theater and also the MMA. Have all those things been helpful for training to be a wrestler and in your wrestling career?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't be, I mean, I still would be able to wrestle, but I wouldn't be as natural and fluid, you know, at it as, you know, I wouldn't catch on as quick as I did, if I didn't have the background with, dance and theater and acting and martial arts, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything just kind of, you know, those are my tools. You know, that's what I use, you know, to make me stand out and put me forward and, you know, ahead of everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's why I stood out to Leilani Kai, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Now, having the MMA background and, you know, training for in martial arts, did any of the people that from that world, like, look down on the wrestling side?
Look down on it?
Yeah, like, you know, MMA's, you know, like, quote-unquote, a legit sport, and then you would go
uh-huh.
do wrestling. Did anyone Was everyone from the MMA side, were they cool with that? Or did anyone say, oh, you should stay away from this?
Oh, no. They were very excited.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to them about that. I said, you know, I'm not sure if this is something that I want to take up. You know, but they encouraged me. They encouraged me to actually go ahead. In other words, I have their blessings. I had my sensei's blessing. And Sensei Benny's mother was a professional wrestler.
Oh.
And, you know, yeah. So, and his sister also. So it ran in the family. So no, I mean, they were very happy and excited for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of made me more comfortable, you know, for me to step in.
Yeah. How different is the training from MMA and professional wrestling?
It's not very different. I mean, yeah, it is different, but I mean, I almost bring my training from an MMA into the square circle, and I feel like it's I'm gonna be honest with you, I know it's very natural to me when I get in the ring and I wrestle. When I first started wrestling, I didn't even know I was chain wrestling. You know, I was chain wrestling, and I didn't know I was chain wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, "Oh, she's a very good chain wrestler," and I was like, "What is chain wrestling?"
Uh-huh.
so you know, I find it it's almost the same to me. The training is almost the same, but you know, I never make the training easy on both ends. I always try to, you know, make it harder. Every time I feel like I catch myself kind of you know, being in like an easy routine, I try to make it harder for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said Leilani, you know, she noticed something in you, and after you found out, you know, a lot of about her career and her history, did that like sink in? Like, oh, this, you know, this is something special. You know, I should be really proud that mm-hmm. someone that you know, who's done a lot, has noticed something in me.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. It's always. It's always an honor, and I'm always grateful to have, you know, people like Leilani who are a name to support me. And that's what I look for the most. I look for support, you know, moral support more than anything, because the physical I have, mm-hmm. you know, the personal support I don't have, you know, because my family, you know, they support me. They know I'm serious, but they don't quite understand, you know, what I'm doing in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain it to them from time to time, and my mother will kind of listen, but, you know, she still goes back to, well, I would rather see you, you know, become like a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's not like 100%, she doesn't agree with me 100% with my career. So having like someone like Leilani who completely understands me and, you know, wants this for me is a great deal.
Yeah.
So I take appreciation of that.
Women's MMA is really taking off in the UFC and other MMA companies. Is that something you still would like to do, or are you strictly going to do professional wrestling now?
Well, I mean, at this point, I'm taking one career at a time. 5 years ago today, if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, Pat, guess what? You know, you're going to be a professional wrestler, you know, under Leilani Kai and, you know, all these other people," I would have looked at them and said, "Man, somebody get this crazy person out of my way." you know, and I would probably not have believed them. So anything can happen, you know, especially in my life, you know, anything, you know, I'm living proof, you know, to myself that anything's possible. So, yeah, and if the time is right and, you know, and if it feels right, then certainly I'm going to take it on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, your nickname is the Gamer. Where did that come from?
Well, I'm a gamer. I play video games.
Hmm.
On my spare time. Lately, I haven't had any time, but
uh-huh.
I've been playing video games my whole life, and it's just something that I really enjoy doing. I started playing like FPS shooter games when I was 16 years old, and I got really good at it. I was like, man, this feels really good, you know, to be always number one and owning everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And literally it was like that. Like, I was the only girl, kind of like poning everybody, you know, all the guys. And then I started like beating their like best players.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and for like the longest time, they thought I was hacking. And yeah, I'm serious. Black Ops 1, I got kicked out of every U.S. server, every U.S. domination server, because they thought I was hacking. I kid you not.
Did you think that's because you were so good, or do you think it was because you were good and you happen to be female?
Both.
Uh-huh.
Definitely both.
Did
yeah,
you...
man. There's so much hate around that. You know, they, like, they hate it. I don't know what they hate more. If, like, I own them or I'm better at them at the game, or because I'm a girl and I look good and I still own them.
Yeah.
Did you ever have, like, any 8-year-old kids just yelling obscenities at you?
What? No.
You get that sometimes on the Xbox Live.
That's true, that's true. I remember this one time there was this 8-year-old kid that they were picking on, and it was he was so cute, and I was, like, kind of protecting him, and he was on my team, and I felt like I was, like, an older sister or something, and I was, like, protecting him from the other team because they were picking on him, and they were saying, like, you know, get out of here, you little kid, you know, being mean to him, and I was kind of, like, protecting him, like, just stay behind me, and I'll own them all for you.
I remember back in the days I would play Counter-Strike, and people, they would come up after they killed you, and then they would, like, lean down onto your face, and they would call that teabagging. Have you perfected that move
yet? My God. I've been a victim to that. But I teabag him, too. I get back at them, though.
I'm like a pitfall on the Atari 2600 guys. So I'm not really what these games are.
Well, I'm down with that as well. What was, like, your first console you have? And I could probably tell how old you are.
Oh, you can tell how old I am now?
Just by what console you it was the first one that you owned.
The very first one I owned was the Super Nintendo.
Super, okay. So.
Yeah, the gray and purple one.
Okay, so you're probably like, well, women don't tell their age, so I probably shouldn't say.
Oh,
but I know because I'm the man.
You're only as old as you feel, man. No, I'm 24, and I have no problem saying it.
I do like the Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo and N64, that was my gaming days.
Really? And you just kind of stopped?
I did. OIB here, he's really big into the games.
Oh, yeah, I'm a freak. I've got NES games on my wall right now, and I have a little list where I mark them off and everything. So, yeah.
Nice.
Big copy of Earthbound up there. Does that do anything for you?
Wait, what?
Earthbound? Super Nintendo?
Earthbound?
I have a complete copy.
Okay.
Damn.
That's great, man. That's great. Awesome. You should send me some pictures or something.
Well, it's only worth about $800 on eBay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Are you selling it?
No, I just look up how much the things are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's silly.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was told that you were born in Armenia.
Yes, I was.
So how old were you when you came over to the States?
I was, to be exact, I was 1 year and 9 months.
Oh, okay.
According to my mother. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been a big difference when you're that young coming over to the United States.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. No, how did you get involved in WoW?
I was actually looking, you know, I saw them online, and they posted a notice for casting. They were looking for, I guess, females, you know, 18 to 30 or whatever. And they said they were looking for WoW superheroes. When I first saw WoW, I thought World of Warcraft. And I'm like, wow, why are they casting for WoW?
Wizards of War.
Yeah. Exactly. So it took me a minute to find out that it was for wrestling. And I'm like, okay, interesting. So, you know, I just went into their auditions, and and that was it. You know, they just called me up and said, you know, coming to training at this date and this time, and I took it on from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, how different is it, you know, from training to when you're actually in front of the live crowd? And I guess your theater background would have helped you prepare for, you know, actually performing in front of, you know, a bunch of people.
Yeah. I actually love performing in front of people more than training. I don't know. I don't know if it's the people's energy. It probably is, because their energy is so big, and they're there to have so much fun. And I don't know. I just feed off of everyone's energy, and I have a good time.
Yeah.
I love, and I guess it's like, you know, something in my blood. You know, I love action. So,
Yeah.
You know, something that.
A lot of wrestlers I've talked to over the years, you know, of course you have to, you go to like a school to train, you know, the basics and stuff, but a lot of people say that you really, when you, how you really learn is actually having the matches in front of people and working with, you know, other people. Who, do you find that to be true?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how you gain your experience, you know, and then eventually that's how you become comfortable in front of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, doing that from a very young age already, that built me up, you know, with theater and the dance, because, you know, I've been performing my whole life in front of people, and I've sang in front of people, you know, played the piano, recitals in front of people. So I've done a lot, and I'll tell you something though, it doesn't get easier. Like, you know, the nerves kind of lessen. But there's always nerves, and there's always that little voice in your head that kind of, you know, is always there. You just get better at ignoring it. It never really goes away.
Yeah. No, I was at NWA Legends Fan Fest last year in Charlotte. And,
really?
Yeah, and I remember someone, a young girl who was in the ring training, they had the seminar there, and she got her head busted open, and they rushed her into the bathroom. And I brought this up to Leilani Khan. At the time, I didn't realize that was actually you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember her, too. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, so what happened there?
Well, the guy was given specific instructions to do, like a three-minute, you know, training match, you know, for the fans, and, you know, and he just kind of, I guess he went against all the instructions that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, you know, he roughed me up, man. He roughed me up. And I'm not complaining. I didn't complain because, you know, I needed to stay professional. But, man, if we were somewhere else, if that was a different kind of ring and all those people were in there, he would have gotten his. And I was ready to give his. I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Tom Pritchard, you know, stopped it because I started bleeding. But everything he did was wrong, and he knew it. And in a weird way, I felt like some people were in on it. I don't know why. I just felt like some people were in on it.
Like we're gonna, you know, since you were the only girl there in the training, you think that was like the reason we're gonna show her?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why not? Let's rough her up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not? Let's show her, you know, a little something. She thinks she's a fighter. You know, she thinks she's all that. You know, let's show it to her. I don't know. I might be wrong, but it's just the whole thing didn't make sense to me.
From the other trainers there, or from the guy you're in the ring with, or all of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. I don't know, but it might as well could be. And again, like, I'm not one to like put my fingers or anything, but that just, it just didn't feel right. You know, it felt like there was something more to it than I can really prove.
Yeah.
And I can't prove anything, but it didn't feel right at all.
Did you feel like people weren't comfortable with you being there even, you know, before this incident happened?
Maybe. Yeah, people like, as in the guys, or
yeah, the people either you're training with, or some of the people that are running the seminar.
Yeah, I think so. Pretty maybe even because Leilani was one of the coaches there. People knew that. you know, Leilani was protecting me, and I'm her protege, and, you know, people thought that I was getting it easy, in other words. And I don't like that, you know. I don't like it when people talk about, people who don't know me say, all right, you know, this girl is probably getting it handed over to her because, you know, Leilani Kai is always talking about her, and she trains with Leilani Kai. But what people don't know is Leilani Kai is 3,000 miles away from me. I live in Los Angeles, and she's all the way in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And everything that I do, I really work my butt off. And I just, you know, I want people to know that. I don't want people to think that everything that I get is all Leilani Kai.
Right.
As much as I love her.
Have you run into that conventions or other other areas where people think that of you, that, you know, since you're with Leilani Kai, you either have it easy.
Almost all the time. You know, people think that I'm under her protection and she's guarding me 24/7. And look, Lonnie, I love her to death. She's like a second mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not there 24/7. You know, more or less, she's there for me. She's giving me moral support. She talks to the business. She talks to me about the business. And she educates me on things that, you know, I need to know. If I have any questions, so I go to her. But she's only been in the ring with me a number of times, training-wise. My main trainer is Steve Stasiak. And, you know, and I take, and I want to let people know that.
Well, mm-hmm.
End of the day, we're like a big family.
Yeah. Do you also run in when you're at an event like that where it's, you know, you're the only woman? Do you still run into some of the older wrestlers or current wrestlers who have that thought, like, you know, women don't really belong here, or is that more of something you don't really come into anymore?
I don't think so. I think that wrestling has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changed a whole lot. And I think at some point, women gave the impression, you know, to men that we don't belong here. You know, and as strange as it sounds, then I think that some women carry the way that they carry themselves in the ring, was probably what started, you know, to make people think that, you know. But then there's always the stronger females, you know, who go in the ring and, you know, they show what's up.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you got into wrestling and, you know, you really were interested in it and you started to love it and everything, were there certain female wrestlers that you would watch, like, tapes of that were before you and, like, that really inspired you?
Not really. I didn't watch a lot of wrestling. I did watch wrestling. I mean, I watched how the girls work. I liked, not inspired, but I liked certain things about some girls, you know, and watching their matches. You know, I liked the way that they did certain moves and, you know, worked certain angles. And, you know, like, I love Wendy Richter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love her. When I watch her, like, and her presence, and she's so beautiful to me. Like, she's one of my favorites that I like to watch. Go ahead.
No, so you said you liked her presence. I was wondering what specifically you liked about Wendy Richter. Was it, like, her charisma and just the way she carries
herself
in the ring? And...
Mm-hmm. It was everything, the way she carried herself and her charisma. And she was so beautiful, like, such, like, it reminds me of, like, Brooke Shields. And I love Brooke Shields. And I met Brooke Shields, like, one time, and she did a show at my theater. And she was so beautiful and so sweet. Maybe that's what it is, because she reminds me of Brooke Shields a lot.
Yeah. Nope. And another thing is, you said, you know, wrestling has changed a lot, like how people see women in wrestling. And there are a lot more women in wrestling now than before. So do you think, well, maybe you can't compare it because you weren't around back then, but do you think that makes it harder to to maybe easier to get in wrestling at all, but do you think that makes it harder to really succeed at like a high level since there's more competition, there's so many women getting into wrestling?
Hey, the more the merrier, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, personally, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way because I come from a place that none of these other girls come from, and I'm very confident with myself, and, you know, I don't stop, and I tend to, like, not listen to people and not pay attention to, you know, what people talk about and, you know, their opinions, even people's opinion about me. You know, I don't care about that. I used to kind of pay more attention, but right now it's none of my business what people think about me. But I don't see that, and anything's possible. If you want to succeed, you know, you go out there, you work hard enough for it, you know, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a little luck helps too on the side.
So here in the chat room, President Clinton says, Dr. Tom Pritchard read that guy the Riot Act for busting her open. He was also at the fan fest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, wait, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, what are your thoughts on Dr. Tom Pritchard?
What did I talk to him about?
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts of him as, like, during that seminar? Do you think he gives good advice for up-and-coming wrestlers?
Absolutely. I think he's an excellent trainer. You know, his style was certainly, it was a little different than the way that I like certain holds I learned and certain moves that I learned in WOW. It was a little different. And I liked his style. Like, he had a different way of doing like a top wrist lock, you know, than the way I was taught in WOW. And, you know, the way he showed me seemed more, legit and seemed more correct. He's definitely one to look out for if there's, like, any, you know, wrestlers who want to go train.
Mm-hmm.
And they're interested in wrestling. They should definitely go to his seminars. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, he is a guy that had a long history with WWE, so he, mm-hmm. you know, he has some knowledge of what they would be looking for with this.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that a goal of yours to get to the WWE?
I'm always willing to do business. Always. So if, you know, I don't look into that. I know people ask me all the time about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't sit here and, you know, dream of being in WWE one day. You know, I stay in the moment and, you know, I work and I make sure that I'm, you know, I'm always ready. And when that day comes and WWE wants me, you know, I'll be ready.
Mm-hmm. What about TNA? Would there be interest there?
And again, yeah, I'm always willing to do business. You know, it would just depend.
Mm-hmm.
It would just depend what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Any aspirations to drive a monster truck?
What?
Why the heck not?
Medusa, that's what she's doing nowadays.
Battle Medusa. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be like the last thing on my list that I haven't done. I'll probably do.
Excellent.
Well, you can think about what you would call your monster truck, I guess, in the meantime.
Oh, I can name it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with the world of monster trucks, but we'll just assume.
Neither am I.
Enter here. He's the man.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to all the monster truck rallies.
Now,
wow.
I know, when you first started wrestling for a while, you wrestled Santana Garrett, who was a pretty big name there. What was it like working with her?
It was awesome. She's so fun. She's so bubbly and so sweet and so nice. You know, I really don't have anything bad to say about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if, even if here and there, you know, they came off a little sour or, you know,
we'll get
might
it out of
something.
You.
I dare you.
It's the dirt.
No, I'm serious. You know, I'm like that. I forgive people really easily because I know it's not personal. You know, how you never know. Maybe they had a bad day. You know, maybe they just, something went wrong and they got a bad phone call from home. But I don't take things personally. And that's something that I also picked up in martial arts is, you know, I got clipped with a good shot last time. I caught with an elbow and my nose started bleeding. you know, but I didn't take it personally. You know, I hugged him or family. It's okay. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
But Santana, going back to that, you know, she was really fun and, you know, really nice. And, you know, we went out there and we danced. We had a good time.
I know a lot of people talk about your match with a Jungle Girl, and how is that different than your matches with Santana Garrett or with other people? How does it stand?
Very
up?
Intense.
Mm-hmm.
Very intense. It was like the complete opposite of Santana. You know, I was tangoing with Santana, and then all of a sudden somebody dropped the bomb at me with a Jungle Girl. She's very intense, and Jungle equally works as hard. Her training, you know, is probably much more different than mine, you know, and she's one of those people where, like, we're so alike in a sense, but we're very different at the same time. And, she was looking for someone like me. She was looking for, someone to challenge her and, you know, kind of, you know, send her off the edge. And I think that's what I pretty much did. But, you know, I had a great match. You know, it was really, again, equally as great, you know, working with her. And I was hoping to have a rematch with her sometime soon, but, you know, she just wasn't up for it. Or, I don't know, something must have happened along the lines that I don't know about. But that was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it like, because I know you did a film, it was called Rush, and Randy Couture and Dolph Lundgren was in that movie. What was it like being on set for that?
The title got changed to Ambushed, but that's okay. But it was really fun. You know, I had a great time, you know, just going there. It was a really small part, and people make it a bigger deal than it actually is. Like, I was actually in, like, three scenes, like... Mm-hmm. Like when a briefing scene, or two briefing scenes, and raiding the Dolph in one scene. But it was really fun. Everybody was really nice, and you know, we're like a big family, you know. And I was supposed to originally stunt double the main actress, but the actress got recasted, and the new actress was a lot shorter than me, so I couldn't double her anymore. She was like, I think like 5'3", and I'm like 5'7". And yeah, but then as soon as they found out that, you know, I'm an actor, you know, besides just a stunt actor, I can act, they're like, hey, let's put her in the movie. And I said, yay, why not?
That's very cool. Did Dolph ever say, like, I must crush you?
I must break you.
No. No. Why would he say that?
Is that that's a famous line from Rocky IV.
Yeah, but he would have said that to me.
I would have just went up to him to ask him to say it and recorded it.
Whatever he hits, he destroys.
No, he was really nice and really relaxed. But I can definitely see myself working with them again if the opportunity arises.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. I missed them.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Is there any women out there that you watch either on TV or on you know, on the independents that you'd really like to work with at some point?
I cut my cable 2 years ago. I haven't really watched any television for 2 years now. What?
I'm just a guess. I can't believe it. No cable.
You can't believe it?
I couldn't live. I need my storage.
I got tired of it, man. I got tired. I was turning on the TV and all I saw was the Kardashians, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't get away. And I was like, I can't, you know, I don't want to see this anymore. But you know, having the internet, of course, you know,
they want on the internet. So.
No, there's Total Divas. That's Jack's favorite show.
I did not watch it.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you guys, like, a quick story.
Yes.
You're not going to believe. Wrestling is the most stranger than fiction business I have ever been involved in. My first trip to the East Coast in July, okay, Primetime Shuttle is picking me up 5 a.m. in the morning to catch my flight. And the girl that I sit next to, her name was, like, Miriam or something. She's Armenian. she, you know, we got into a little small talk, you know, what is she doing? And then she asked me eventually, where am I going? And I told her, you know, I was going to Russell training. And she said, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, why? And then she's like, my cousin is actually dating one of the divas from WWE right now. Mm. And I said, oh, really? That's cool. Yeah, right. I didn't believe her. And then, like, I randomly saw an episode of Total Divas, and the guy, I forgot her name. I'm so bad with it. One of the girls. The black
Cameron.
Girl. Probably. She's the one that, like, raps.
Mm.
I think she raps or something. Yeah, but her boyfriend is Armenian, and she has, like, some music studio in Hollywood, out here in Hollywood, California. And I was like, oh, my God, look at that. I ran into his cousin.
Man.
I've actually never seen the show, but Intra is a big fan.
Really?
I need my Total, like, Divas.
I watched, like, one episode, mm-hmm. like, 30 minutes, I think it was, like, 20 minutes of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched part of it.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. You know what? It reminds me of the Kardashians. I don't know why. I feel like Kardashians started this thing with reality, you know, on the E, and then every other reality show that was coming up, like, everything looked like the Kardashians to me. I don't know why, but I just see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be honest, the show really doesn't interest me, but I know a lot of people are big fans of it. So. That's cool, I guess.
What's your finisher move?
Go back to your question. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to tell you who I want to wrestle.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
And then we'll get to your finisher. That's a good one, though.
Okay. Well, I would really want to wrestle the Awesome Kong, Karma.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that I can't wait to get my hands on.
Former guest of the show. I'm a big fan of hers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. She really is awesome.
Yeah. That would be a hell of a match.
Yeah. Oh, you bet. I can promise you that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, Incher wants to know, what were you going to ask, Inchman?
Your finishing move. What is it?
Well, one of my main finishers is the Hunakarana.
Okay.
And that's the one that... And then I have another one that I call a crucifix pin, and it's the one that I beat Melissa Coates in Georgia last year in November. Mm-hmm. And it's one that's never been done before in wrestling.
Yeah.
You kind of have to see it. I can't really describe it, but, you know, I get her to a position where, you know, I take the arm, I do an axe kick over the arm, and that causes her to, you know, land on the palm, on her palms and on her knees, and I'm still holding her arm, and then with my legs, I'm holding her arm. And then I roll over her and I catch her other arm with my hands and I pin her like on her shoulders. So her arms are both pinned.
Very cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's kind of weird to describe it.
How did you come up with this move?
Well, martial arts, obviously. Everything, like, there's certain moves that I do, like, in martial arts, like the axe kick, and I'm like, well, I should, you know, try to incorporate this and, you know, use it in my wrestling. So I use a lot of, like, martial arts techniques, and there's so much I can do. Like, I can always create new things and new moves, which is, like, what I love doing, is I like to create things that I haven't really seen.
Mm-hmm. I'm a beast with the nunchucks. Does that do anything for you?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? That's cool. I love working with the nunchucks.
Oh, excellent.
They're fun. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
X-Pac, he was pretty good with
really...
it.
X-Pac?
Yeah, X-Pac and what's his name? Larry Zbysko.
Oh,
he called
okay.
him the noon
That's
chuck,
cool.
so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Larry Zbysko used him back in the AWA days.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s.
Well, wow, that's cool. What did they do with it? Did they just come out with it? And do like make and, or did they actually take it to the ring?
I think X-Pac was pretty decent with him. Was Larry any good with him, Jack?
Well, honestly, I never understood why Larry Zbysko had nunchucks in him. That was back when I was like 10 or three, maybe. And I don't know, I just watched wrestling, and I was like, this is weird, this guy's got nunchucks and a ninja, but I don't know, I guess it's cool. But
they actually wanted me to do that in WoW. They wanted me to come out with nunchucks. I was like, what?
Has anyone come up with any weird gimmicks for you besides the one you currently use?
Yeah. They try to, but I stopped them.
Any ones you
they
like?
They try to. They were going to name me Avatari.
So you'd be like, would you paint your body blue?
I don't know. That's the first thing that came, you know, to my mind when they said Avatari. I guess because they knew I was a gamer, they thought of Atari. And, you know, and then the Avatars, you know, the movie, the Avatar. They're like, Avatari, you know, that was hot back then. They're like, what do you think of it? Avatari. And he was saying it with, like, passion, beautiful claim. And I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Atari is very popular with the kids these days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I was going to be Avatari, no matter how popular it was.
That's pretty good. Any other ones?
Yeah, I think they also wanted to, like, put me in, like a Spartan outfit, like Xena. They wanted to make me like a Xena. I know.
Oh, Xena.
So I was going to come out as, like, a female Spartacus. Can you imagine?
That would be something. Another one.
I know.
Xena, that's like, that is not, like, relevant at all at the moment.
Yeah, they wanted to do all sorts of messed up things with me.
Well, that's good though. I think a lot of people overlook that in wrestling, like that you have to stand up for yourself if someone wants to do something with you that you don't think would work. To be able to say no, I don't want to do that.
Come on, you have a mind of your own.
Yeah, I just think some people will anything someone offers them, you know, they're gonna do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no. But you know, sometimes you have to just negotiate.
Yeah,
and especially in business, you know, you don't always get what you deserve, but you get what you negotiate.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Melissa Coates. I know that match was on iPay-per-view, and what are your thoughts on the iPay-per-view and you think that's going to be something that's be around for a while and will take off bigger than it is now, especially for independent companies?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, and I mean, it should. We were the only girls. We had the only Divas match, so it was really fun. You know, it was really cool working with her. It was different. You know, Melissa. You know, she's really strong, but you know, it was. It was different, definitely different than Santana and Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always like to, you know, I don't trust everybody in the ring. I trust myself only when I'm in the ring. So regardless of how good they are, how inexperienced they are, I always like to make sure that, you know, I'm almost leading the match.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we went out there and we had a good time. You know, we were on a really good card. You know, with Ric Flair and X-Pac and, you know, Scott Hall.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it was good. You know, it was fun.
Do you feel any difference between being, like, the only women match on a card as opposed to an all-women's wrestling card?
There's definitely more pressure on you, I would suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're the only girls and they're like, there's more attention. They're like, all right, let's see what the girls are to do. You know, that I guess the expectation is a little more higher when you're the only female on a card.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I suppose. I exceeded their expectations, I hope.
Yeah. So what do you think is the most important characteristic to have to really make it as a female wrestler? Do you think it's do you think you kind of have to have like a total package nowadays of looks and ring ability and charisma?
I think it's a total package, you know, if you ask me. But you know, nowadays it's a very cosmetic business at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely need to look the part, you know. I believe that, you know, looking the part is very important. And, you know, if you don't, then everybody else would be doing it. But it, generally, you know, you have to have it all. You know, you have to look good. You have to be hardworking. You have to be smart. You have to be athletic. But I don't know. You know, that's what I feel. You know, I'm just telling you how I feel that, you know, how I would do it. You know, for everybody else is different. You know, everybody else, you know, somebody might have been lucky or somebody might have better timing to be where they are. But I think that for the most part, you know, they look for the total package. And if you're it, then you're it.
Let everybody know if you would like to find Todovic on social media, on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/WowToTavik. And we'll have the link right on the website so you can click on it.
Awesome.
Yeah. I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Excellent. And I wish you all the luck in the future here in the world of wrestling.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Tom Pritchard saying listen to InYourHeadOnline.com for all the latest, the greatest, and superstars that you want to hear.
We are back once again here at IYH Wrestling In Your Head. In your goddamn head, Insure.
Yes, sir, Jack. In your head. And we've had, you know, several attacks by some of the podcast marks out there. They say they are going to hijack In
really?
Your head tonight. Yeah.
Who's saying that? Yeah. Tazo Reek?
You got the Tazo. You've got the Specs Son. Mm-hmm. And you got the Brains. And you also got none other than the Glogo 13. Mm. They're going to hijack the show tonight. And if they care to do that, then they can call in and try their damnedest to do it. And that's 508-644-8503. I dare you, you podcast marks. I dare you.
So yeah, so there was the big thing. They were gonna hijack Raw, and I thought Raw was great. I thought this especially the first hour of Raw I thought was amazing. I thought it was better than most of their pay per views.
Well, I wasn't so overjoyed with the show. I thought there was good segments like the Paul Heyman segment and
the Shield match was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that was good. The Shield
that was
match
even better.
Was great.
I loved their pay-per-view match, but I thought that was even better than their pay-per-view match.
I'd probably take the pay-per-view match over this one, but it was still a good match. It was pretty cool. I just didn't like the ending to it, where, you know, Rollins was just like, well, you guys get it done, you know. And he kind of stands out on the side.
Designed to, you know, progress the storyline.
Mm-hmm. But
I really thought the Usos versus New Age Outlaws match was very good too. That was I think that was a good big moment for the Usos.
Mm-hmm. Winning the belts. Well,
yeah, I know a lot of people, and it's weird. It's almost like they're brainwashed by the WWE think of the last few years, where you know it's just you've got to have young guys, and now they have this older team there, and they're really not even that old. I mean, for decades. Guys wrestled in their 40s, and that wasn't a big deal whatsoever. I mean, during the Attitude Era on Nitro, all those guys were in their 40s, or like some even like early 50s probably. But, I mean, all like the big-name guys from their 40s. That's kind of used to be in wrestling. That's really when you would take off was like in your late 30s and 40s. So I don't really – they're not like they're out there and they're like embarrassing. They're out there – the crowd is really into them. And I think the proof is in the Usos here. I mean, the Usos are more over than they've ever been. The crowd was, like, going nuts for that match. and they loved it when they finally beat the New Age Outlaws for titles. So I think the New Age Outlaws really did their job out there. They got this tag team over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they're definitely over, and I think they definitely wanted to give them like a title change on the show to kind of simmer the crowd down, because there's all these reports about how they're going to hijack Raw that night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good match. Glad to see it on the Usos. I was kind of getting tired of seeing Road Dogg and Billy Gunn with the titles. I was kind of mad whenever they beat Rhodes Brothers before.
I really wish it wouldn't have taken off the Rhodes, but I think it did a good job and really helped the Usos. I would like to see the Usos now go into a feud with the Rhodes.
Yeah, that would be cool if they brought it back around to that. That'd be neat. You know, just saying like, well, we didn't really... It was kind of a fluke loss anyhow, so... You know, take us on to really prove that you're the real tag champions.
Then splitting up the Rhodes and having them feud. I mean, that... Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the thing that always happens if teams always break up, and I don't think they need to break up now, and I think they're better together than they would be apart at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. It is a real typical thing in wrestling. They're doing that a lot nowadays, where they're breaking teams apart, but
Peers. I mean, I really don't like those guys anyway, but they're completely nothing by themselves.
Yeah, I think they kind of gave them a little bit of a run, and yeah, they've pretty much simmered all out. I mean, the charisma that they had with one another was pretty low anyhow.
Yeah.
And so I don't think anybody's like clamoring to see that feud go on. Except for, like, isn't there a guy on the message board who's all about the primetime players feud?
Yeah, Toast and Tazo, they just love
two
it.
People.
Yeah.
My God, are we sure they're not the same person?
You never know. I think they're both Greek.
Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah.
I don't like. They might just be the same person. I can never tell them apart.
There you go. But yeah, I could see like the Rhodes. Like, if they did break them apart and they gave them, like, a good spot on the show, like, not just kind of bury them where you never could find
them.
Well, I just
think if they do that, though, you have this, you'll get one match out of them.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's just, I think they'll just kind of both flounder, even though I really think if you did split them up, I think Goldust is a guy to push, but I assume
That's what I would like to see is his promos, you know, going. You know, I think that would be some pretty magical stuff. But
I think together they're better off together. I mean, them and their Shield are just a huge part of WWE in this last year of just like great matches.
I definitely don't have a problem seeing them together. You know, a little bit longer. You know, but I just think whenever they do break them apart, I think it could be a good feud.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was very just a little bit off on a side note here was. A guy on a message board who's very controversial is Extreme Falls 43, and I don't have a big problem with him normally. Like I think but there was a thing he said there recently, and I just like I don't think anyone with any like brain could possibly really think this. Either he's just a complete moron, or he's I don't know, but he's like he was talking about because. You know, there was rumors that Steen's going to be in the new WWE tryout camp. And talked about some other guys, the Briscoe brothers. And then he was saying how just because you make it in Ring of Honor doesn't mean you can make it in WWE, which I'm with him up at this point in time saying that. But then his examples were of guys that were big on the indies but aren't making it in WWE. Cesaro?
Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, and I just like how no one can really make that claim. I mean, you'd have to just be a complete fucking idiot, or you're lying to give those as examples of guys from the indies that aren't making it in WWE. The Shield and Cesaro.
I mean, he has to be up to date with the program.
Best in the company.
Yeah, they are. They got some pretty.
That's probably like the MVP of the whole year, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And Cesaro, I mean, he's the friggin' man, and they really pushed him hard in the Elimination Chamber, and I think it's pretty clear he's going to be like one of the main guys coming up. He's coming up on a big push, I think, after WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, those like, guys are doing pretty damn well, you know, for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, who's better than those, besides, like, John Cena and stuff? I mean, are guys that never were on the indies and straight out of developmental and better, like, is Wade Barrett, Jack Swagger, are those guys better off than any of them? I don't think it's even close. And those guys have gotten countless pushes.
Yeah, most definitely. And they did have Cesaro as, like, one of the prime spots on the NXT show on the WWE Network. You know, one of the first show that he came back, he was facing off with a new up-and-coming indie talent. He used to go by El Generico. So, yeah, there's another, you know, feather in his cap. So, they're definitely, you know, they definitely like Cesaro. So I don't think he's... Yeah. Doing bad at all for himself right now.
Oh, I mean, he's clearly more over than Swagger. He's like the star of the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I read stuff like, you know, XT, I know he's very WWE biased.
Yeah, but these guys are in WWE.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like I'll read it and I'll think, I kind of picture like he has the exact same mindset as Vince McMahon or something. Like, he's like, well, they're just not making it yet, pal, or something. I don't know, but he's a strange cat. I don't totally disagree with him with everything he says, but some of the things he says, yeah, that was pretty out there. So
yeah, and he also said the fact is they're smaller workers, but they're not. Cesaro is bigger than John Cena.
Yeah, Cesaro's a big dude. And that Brody Lee guy, what's his name in the Wyatt crew?
Another guy from the indies is doing really well.
Yeah.
About a guy, you know, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. I think it's pretty clear that guys who have done well in the indies are doing well in the WWE right now. Of course, you can always find guys that aren't, but you can find guys that have come out of any training facility that had success. They also had guys that didn't make it. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm really shocked by this because I never thought that mentality would be around in WWE where they would let, you know, some of these indie performers get over like they have. But I think it's been a good thing for the company. I'm glad they're doing it nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, you can't really call them indie performers anymore because they are on the big stage.
Yeah, I hate that. It's a stupid mentality anyway. It's like, where else is it going to come from? Unless you're just some jacked up dude and WWE sees you and hires you for developmental. Where else are you going to? There aren't territories, so there's not like you can wrestle for somewhere else and then go to WWE.
Hmm.
You have this mentality that, so what do you only have to be from WWE to make it in WWE? It'd be like the son of a WWE employee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's idiotic, really.
We did have a lot of that.
So we do have a caller here on the line, and he's messed up the audio a little bit, so we're going to go to him. We've got the Mighty XR.
How you doing?
Not too bad. What's going on?
Well, last week it was revealed that the network came through without some kinks to it.
What was that?
It has the network.
Yeah.
Had
it wasn't working. Yeah. Hopefully it's all worked out. So how do you feel about the network?
I don't really like it so far. I've enjoyed it. I've watched it more than I thought I would. I've been watching that WrestleMania Rewind shows. Watched NXT last week when they had their live broadcast. I enjoyed it. It was a fun show. I don't know. I've enjoyed it so far. It's been cool. I have had some, you know, little hiccups here in the service, you know, just little small things, nothing too bad. I mean, I did have to, you know, resume watching NXT later on because it just totally shut down for me at one point. But other than that, it's been pretty good. I hope it's good for the pay-per-views. I'm a little worried about that. What about you, Lexar?
I haven't seen the network yet because I only have a PS2. I heard my friend, he has, he's still having some troubles with the streaming on-demand service with
Do you have the internet? Do you have internet?
Like high broadband internet.
Yes, I do, but I don't have the BMI cable or PS3.
Well, you can just watch it on your internet.
Yeah, you can get on like...
But I prefer watching on my TV better.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure everybody would, but you could also do like... Jack, he's got this Roku player thing here, and how much do you get for that?
Well, you can get the basic one for like $40 or $35, I think.
Yeah, that's not bad.
The best one, even the best one, is $100.
$100, that ain't bad.
No. You can get other ones. You can even get the basic HD one's like $50 or so. But I honestly, anybody who's a wrestling fan, and I assume anyone who listens to the show or takes the time to call in this show is a wrestling fan, I think it's a no-brainer to get them in network. There's either even for me, just the pay-per-views alone are worth it. You're getting them all for $10 instead of $50 or $60.
Yeah.
And then you've got all this, you've got new stuff, like the... It's coming on, and then you've got all these old pay-per-views, and they'll be adding more. I don't really see how anyone who's a wrestling fan could not want it.
And the picture is really high quality, Lexar. When you tune into it, it's a good picture. I mean, you wouldn't think it would be so good coming from an internet stream, but it's pretty damn good.
That's what I heard from my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
He says that it is better than Classics on Demand, which he didn't even view. He didn't even order Classics on Demand, but he got the network and think it's better than Classics on Demand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I could kind of compare it to my cable signal, and I do think at times it does look better than my cable signal because it's a high definition, picture. When, I'm just got standard, because I think the Classics on Demand was just a standard definition. I think it was. Might have been. Did they have high definition on the Classics on Demand, Jack?
No, it was standard.
Just standard? Okay.
It was not very good.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just a win-win scenario. I mean, I know there's some...
Yeah, you can lose out.
Yeah. I mean, it's $10. You get all the pay-per-views. I mean the Classics on Demand was $14, wasn't it?
No, it was $7.
Oh, $7. Well, $10, hell, that's...
You didn't get nearly as much content. You got... Because they would only have, like, one or two pay-per-views a month on there, then they would have different ones the next month, but they would take the other ones off, so you didn't really have that much to choose from. This is the same idea, but just, like, 1,000 times better. It's very bizarre, because I know Songman and Swax were... They love the network. I mean, Songman was like ready to kill himself on Facebook when they stopped WWE 24/7. He's so pissed, and at the same time, he hates the network and won't buy it. And I'm just dumbfounded. I mean, you just have to have some type of mental, handicap to not think that to love the one, hate this other one.
You know, to some extent, I kind of agree with Songman.
Did you not just hear what Jack said?
You approve my point.
The mindless in me still misses Classics on the Man.
Thing, but it's so much better. You have way more stuff. You have the same stuff that you had on that, only 100 times more of it. So I don't understand. It does not compute.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just where they don't have the hardware to watch it. I mean, maybe that's a downfall. That I don't know. I mean, but still, guys, just go out and get you a Roku player or a PlayStation 3. I mean, they're going down in price because, the PlayStation 4 is out nowadays. So just, go out and get it. $10 a month, you can't beat that.
Hopefully I'll get a PS3 or watch it at my homeboy's house if he let me have a chance to watch it at his house, because he just like watches Classics on Demand. The network.
You got like a debit card, like like a credit card of some sort, or is that the problem? He can't order it.
Well, right now my computer is at Staples because it has a ton of viruses on it. So, and right now I don't have anything to watch the network. So I would still wish it was Classics on Demand. I still have like on demand site in my cable box. It has a couple matches from last year's TNA Lockdown. So that'll be my Classics on Demand for this month.
There you go. Well, I approve of it, Lexar. I think you need to check it out when you can. So I think you'll like it. Watch the WrestleMania live or watch any other pay per view live. Good stuff. You know, you get to you get to view it while it's happening. No more Facebook spoiling it for you.
My only concern is the on-demand streaming site because I've read there's still some problems with that.
Pretty much the on-demand streaming, yeah. It's had a few issues, but it's been running pretty well on my PlayStation 3 within the last, week or so. So, no problem. They're working it out. It's a work in progress. But get it, Lexar. You need it. You need it.
I'm going to get it soon.
You won't be disappointed.
Speaking of wrestling and wanting to have wrestling in life, my local newsstand in Newark Penn Station, which is like a train station that takes trains, passengers to New York City, this local newsstand there stopped selling issues of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
They stopped or they started? Stopped.
They stopped it.
Well, that sucks. I mean, did you not get the issue that Iowa H was in?
No,
you needed that issue. It's the one with Daniel Bryan on the cover. You turn to, the page we're on. It's one of the best articles you'll ever read. But I don't know. That sucks. You'll just have to complain to your that newsstand guy. I mean, maybe he wasn't selling them like he should. There was no wrestling marks buying it, or they're scared to buy it because they don't want anybody knowing that they like wrestling.
That's one of the iconic wrestling magazines that I watch and read every month.
Mm-hmm.
Because besides anything from WWE, it's there's my information for everything that is pro wrestling besides WWE. Everything. Honor, Combat Zone Wrestling, International, Mexico, Japan, the Indies.
Well,
it's all there.
The online stuff, it's really hurt magazines overall, I think. I think a lot of magazines are having trouble making it nowadays. So, I don't know I'm not saying, Pro Wrestling Illustrated's going to go out or nothing, but I don't think they sell like they used to.
I'm not sure if they're still in publication, though.
PWI?
Yeah,
they're still.
PWI. Yeah,
Mike Bessler. He'd be telling us about it if they weren't, but yeah, he writes for them. They're good. They're still going. You just need to find you a new newsstand that actually sells it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, though.
It'll be hard, I know, but. Once you break through, it'll just feel so good, Lexar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, alrighty, thank you, Lexar, for the call.
Take care, guys.
Take her easy. Jack, I want the 24/7 back.
Really?
Actually, I never had it.
I don't get it. I barely watched the... I mean, they would have very limited content on there, then... They would have what they call, the big event, which would be a pay-per-view, and they'd have, one maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it would be a pay-per-view from, that year.
Yeah.
And so it's just like...
Opposed to having the pay-per-view that just happened the night before.
Yeah, I'm just saying, If I'm going to watch a classic pay-per-view and they're only going to offer me one a month, it can't be like Armageddon, or I don't know, Armageddon night 2010.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, that's in my memory. I remember it, but it's not like, oh boy, go watch that. But with this, they've got like Starcades from the 80s and ECW stuff from the 90s and WWF stuff from the 90s. I mean, that's stuff I'd like to watch.
There's a guy out there who is watching every single pay-per-view and breaking down where it came from. He's like, this is the censored version from the VHS and something else. And he's like, good Lord, this man has a lot of time on his hand to watch the wrestling.
Yeah.
He's
well,
just going through each and every single pay-per-view.
I do see a lot of people on the Facebook. They're like, they just like, I'm quitting my job. I'm never going to shower again. I'm just gonna watch this forever, nonstop. So, I mean, people are really into it. I don't know. You'd have to really, I don't know how you would be able to watch all that stuff and pick out, like, I know New Jack's been edited off every show here but this one particular match. It's a lot of shows to watch.
Yeah, really. Jeez. Yeah, I don't know how they get that stuff done, but I like the service. I enjoy it. I'm going to, you know, continue enjoying it. I don't think I'm going to sit there and watch every single pay-per-view.
No.
I mean, I might pick out one or two every now and then, but, you know, or if somebody tells me about something that I might want to see, I might go back and watch it. But, man, I need, like, a good Vader pay-per-view. What's a good Vader match I can go and watch?
White Castle, if you're... Actually, any of the Vader matches versus Sting or Cactus Jack are awesome.
Okay, I'll check that out.
A lot of people don't like that. Well, they say that era of WCW is bad, and a lot of the undercard stuff, maybe, but... You had some great stuff during that time, too. I mean, Vader and Sting, just awesome. Vader and Cactus and Sting. And you had, there was a lot of really talented guys in WCW at that time. Regal and Austin.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Excellent.
I even like watching the not-so-great stuff, to be honest.
Just stuff that you remember happening.
Yeah, I like watching the whole pay-per-views. I like seeing the great matches. And I like seeing... I don't know, some stupid tag team, the Creatures, that made one appearance on a WCW pay-per-view. Big Sky, who went on to become, you know, the Michael Myers in the remakes of,
Tyler Mayne.
And, yeah, I don't know, I like that stuff. I like watching that stuff.
Yeah.
There's the Indian guy, I forget his name. Not Big Sky, but there's a big goofy Indian, and, like, Vader, like, dropped him on his head once. I was like...
Well, you just made that guy proud. The big, goofy-looking alien Indian that Vader dropped on his head.
Yeah.
My bad! Whoops. But, yeah, this is good stuff. I want to see Macho Man taking on North Korea's baby boy, Dennis Rodman. I want to see that match again. It's good stuff. But, yeah. Jack, there's big news going down on this Monday Night Raw. Old Davey Boy Meltzer, he got on the intranet on typing up his newsletter, and he said that CM Punk, he would be at Monday Night Raw. But he wasn't really sure of this if you listened to him. And I guess, like, another site took his words and just posted it saying, like, he would be there. So everybody just kind of, and they always credit it to Dave Meltzer, so everybody's kind of up in arms because CM Punk was not on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't. It was very weird to bring attention to that. I don't really understand a lot of the booking going into WrestleMania. It's like, people really want to see Punk, and I understand he left and everything, so I'm not, that's just, I don't blame WWE here, but... I don't blame him either. I think I think if you're not happy somewhere, you're not a slave. You can leave if you want to. So I have no problem with that. And I think you know, if you legit don't want to be there and you're giving up big money, you know, that's the opposite of selling out. You just, even for money, you don't want to be there. So I don't have an issue with that.
The only part that I kind of have an issue with
is that they brought attention to the fact that he wasn't there and that they were in. I don't know. It really sets people up to expect him to come out when they talk about him.
Yeah, they started out the show where they played his music, and then Paul Heyman came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in his hometown, and I think like the whole Hijack Raw movement was kind of about you know, kind of like taking up for CM Punk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he left on, you know, he decided to quit. I mean, I don't see what the deal is really, why they're taking up for it. But I guess, you know, I can understand that they want to see change in WWE and all that, but I don't know. I don't see why they would chant CM Punk when he's the guy who quit.
I don't think a lot of people realize that. I think they just know he's not there and want to chant for him.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I do have a problem with, I do think that if you sign a contract, you do kind of have to live up to your part of it. Even though I know WWE, they're bad about just, you know, doing whatever the hell they want. But, you know, if you give somebody your word you're going to do something, you should probably do it. But I think he should have just waited till his contract was up and then just not re-sign.
Yeah, it's up in April.
Yeah, okay. So he ain't got that much longer. But I guess if you really want to drive in a point, you know, and really, you know, show them that you mean business is, you know, just to leave early and just not come back. So.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd the entire time was chanting for CM Punk, and Paul Heyman came out and he did his promo, and he really sold it like he was in CM Punk's favor at first. And then he just got he was running it down about CM Punk and talking about how great he was and everything, and he's like, and there's one reason he's not here tonight, and there's only somebody to blame, and that is each and every one of you. It's like, oh man, Paul Heyman. Did you like the promo?
Yeah, Paul Heyman's just the man. He's one of the greatest talkers.
Mm-hmm. And
he's out there, I think he just blows away everyone else on the show as far as promos go.
Oh yeah. And I liked how he turned it around to where he wants to get revenge for CM Punk losing last year against the Undertaker. So he kind of really worked it well into the storyline where, you know, it's brought it back to Brock facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30. So I thought that was good stuff. And I thought Brock Lesnar was all right on the mic.
Yeah, I did too.
He did have a bad promo that night. So I just think he was a little rusty when he first came back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember in the past, he could talk all right. I'm not saying he was great or nothing, but... You know, some of his promos he had with Angle and stuff. It was all right stuff. But, yeah.
The thing with Lesnar is he's this big, badass guy, and I think he does just enough on the mic to get that over. He doesn't have to go up there and tell one-liners and stuff. He's this big thug who wants to beat the shit out of people.
Mm-hmm. I do like it when he goes into, like, the full-on jock mode. Where he's just making fun of people, and I don't know, it's that's who he is, and it is totally believable when he goes into that character.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I watched a match where he faced off with Aki Bono. I was like watching it on the YouTube because it was, you know, over in Japan and it wasn't available in the States, but he just came back and he cut this promo on Aki Bono, and he just pointed at him. He's like, "I told you once before, motherfucker." And I was like, "Oh, that's great. I love it."
Yeah.
He just called that fat dude a motherfucker. But yeah, so it was an interesting show Monday Night Raw.
Supposedly he threw a monitor and hit some fan.
Oh, I saw him throwing those monitors. I didn't realize it hit somebody, though.
Yeah.
Huh.
I do agree with Boxman here. She says, "How dare Punk stand up for himself?" I agree. I think you should. But I'm an anti-authority guy by nature. I don't like a boss. I don't like the man. So I say, stand up, be heard. You only have a certain shelf life to even make money in wrestling, and it's not a normal job. So you only have yourself to look out for yourself. And if he doesn't like it there, doesn't enjoy it, doesn't think it's good for whatever, I say more power to you, punk. Walk out. That's my personal belief.
Hmm.
Fuck him. That's what I say. Fuck the man.
You're no fan of the man, I see.
Oh, no. But then Henry got his ass whooped again.
Yeah, he came out and faced off with Brock Lesnar. Yeah, I don't know why they're beating the hell out of Henry anymore. I mean, he's done beating the man up once before, but it was cool. I did like how he was just whizzing those freaking monitors across the ring, and I was like, you know, that's something he does that nobody else does, is hit the marks in the head with the freaking monitor. I wasn't thinking that at the time, but and then he picked up Henry and gave him the F5. That was pretty crazy. And when Henry landed on that table, there wasn't like that table wasn't given. It just fucking demolished it.
Yeah. It was, Henry's just getting his ass whooped a lot. Now, some people are pissed about that in the chat room. They're like, whoa, oh my God, why is Mark Henry getting squashed? Like, because Lesnar's the man. And if you can use Mark Henry to make Lesnar look awesome, then do it.
Exactly. Yeah. I see we got some callers on the line. Did you want to get somebody?
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We've got William Morey on the line.
What's up, sex perverts?
How you doing?
I wanted to get caught up in the world of wrestling.
The world of wrestling, Incher. We are here to talk about wrestling.
The wrestling. And now, William, I know you're a man who would have a problem with this. I'm going to bring it up to you right here, right now. Armageddon 1999, they censored Miss Kitty's titties. How do you feel about that?
I am so fucking pissed. It's a fucking outrage. Leave the goddamn footage the way the fucking it was meant to see. Her titties are exposed. It fit the era. It fit the moment. Now, goddammit, do not blow out the motherfucking hard-ass titties. Mm-hmm. If you go through that whole entire match, you can find some good ass shots, push shots. I mean, even Jacqueline's titties, they always pop out if you go back in the time. But the fucking blow-out titties is outrageous. It's the attitude there. It fits.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
I feel your pain, Maury. I feel your pain.
That's why we got VCR tapes. Brings out the old dirty porn in all of us. Right?
Exactly. Boxman in the chat room, he's offering up his Armageddon 99 tape, and it's not about that, Boxman. It's not about that. I want to see the kids tune in and get to see the wrestling the way it was in the day. I want them to get the full-on feel of the Attitude Era when that dumb white trash was like, yeah, I want to see my titties, and then she did it. I want them to see the full effect. Right.
When we were growing up, it was amazing. You had something to jerk off to every goddamn week, and now you're lucky to get a Bella ass shot in every week.
I know it.
It's thoroughly disappointing, goddammit.
Back in the day, they were like, you know, one of our skanks is going to pose for Playboy, and it was like, glory be the name. She is going
to
be.
We all ran to the goddamn newsstand and bought that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Kids today, they got it easy.
No less.
They got it easy. They don't have to run to the newsstand and get the latest Playboy.
We need Penthouse. We need porn stars in wrestling. We need naked chicks. We need something that sells us to watching their candy asses for 6 minutes. Naked. We got to see him naked.
I'm really perplexed by this fascination over Kat's tits. It's like, how much of it did you see? Was it just like a second glimpse? Or?
No, she got. She was like, I know what y'all want to see tonight. You want to see me take out my boobs. And then she did it.
I mean,
full on titty.
Can't you just like Google that?
You could, but I mean, that's not the point, Jack.
And how long was it? I mean, how long was it, though? I mean, how long did you actually see your bare tits?
Maybe a few seconds, and then Sergeant Slaughter covered them up.
So, I mean, you're going to pay $10 a month with all, and just so you can watch those 2 seconds over and over and over again.
It's the principle. It's the principle.
Well, you got the internet. You can go watch like a camel humping like a... Humping, you know, a woman.
Well, if that's what you want to see, Jack. Jesus.
I'm saying you can see anything you want. You can get tits. You can see nipples everywhere. You can probably go to Nickelodeon and see bare tits. Nickelodeon.com.
I don't know about
the internet.
That.
You can see full on, full penetration videos anywhere you want for free.
It's talking about
titties.
You can just Google. SpongeBob SquarePants. I bet if you have Safe Search turned off, you're gonna see porn. There will be porn on Google Image Search, no matter what you look for.
Somebody has to stand up for what's right and what's decent in our attitude era of wrestling, Jack. And I'm saying you need to see it the way it was, and you don't need to
see their ass. You
blurred out boobies.
You can see full penetration. You can see cum shots. You can see anything you want, Fincher.
But it's not the same.
Can you find a Stephanie push shot nowadays? No, you have to go back to the attitude to find that.
They're rewriting history here, Jack.
Why don't you just put up, if you're so obsessed with seeing this on your wrestling, watch the WWE Network, open up another browser, and put up some porn in the corner.
Man.
And you can watch them at the same time.
Well, just listen to what the Ultimate Beef has
to say,
Jack. Listen to what Ultimate Beef, he says... She did have some nice, perky, teen-ish tits. So, there you go.
Well, you could probably go see... I'm sure you could see a whole website... Not more than a website. A whole friggin' internet world devoted to perky teen tits.
But it's Miss Kitty's titties.
Yeah, he doesn't understand, Maura. He just doesn't understand.
I mean, you have Stephanie McMahon's titties out. Stephanie's pussy out back in the attitude era.
What?!
Yes! If you go back and look at some of those outfits she was wearing, you can find good push shots and tit shots every goddamn time. But they edit that shit out now. They don't let her come in the ring. They don't give the crotch out to the ring like they used to.
It's not right.
Goddamn it, is robbing the youth of their jerk-off ability.
You're going to do the youth of today, there's no way they're going to be able to jerk off to a 2 second glimpse of titties. They are way beyond that. They are way beyond that. At like six, they're seeing like anal and midgets and transvestites. This is the stuff they see.
Jack,
are they just watching their mom and dad? Is that what they're doing nowadays?
Before school, I turn on the internet, they're seeing full-on penetration. They're seeing all that stuff.
Jack, this is an art, and they're ruining our art. Why don't they just blur out the Mona Lisa? Because there's better paintings out nowadays. Why don't they just do that?
So you watch wrestling just to see this, hoping that you see a glimpse of some boobs?
Yes. It's called porn art.
Well, then just go watch pornography.
It's not the same.
No.
It's the principle in the matter.
There you go.
You could see any Tom, Dick, and Harry on the internet. You want to see the legit woman who's naked.
You can go to sites and see, there's sites devoted to people putting up videos and pictures of their ex-girlfriends.
But doesn't it feel better to see the woman you see on the TV naked, legitimate, not just some random ass whore?
Ooh, don't really care. I didn't even remember this happened.
Jeez. He just doesn't understand, Maury.
I know, man. It's like steel cage versus boot cage.
But
all over again.
You know, I will say this, though, because, it's been a running theme on the show that we said, like, wrestling is ran by psychopaths. And I think we have visual proof of this. Because Stephanie McMahon, it was pretty obvious she wasn't wearing a bra on Monday Night Raw. And I think just pissing off the fans, it made her boobs hard. Those nipples were hard, Jack.
Did you catch that glimpse?
She just enjoyed it
so much.
I caught
that glimpse of her hard nipples on live on Raw this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy to see. That was jerk-off ability right there.
It was all because she was aroused that the fans weren't getting their way. That's what she was happy about.
Does that make your cock harder?
No, it just makes me think she's a very sick individual.
Her
nipples are getting hard because the fans are pissed.
So much disregard for my opinion that I'm so aroused right now.
Oh yeah, and that short little skirt, her vag is probably soaked too. Just say it.
You think her and Triple H and just go backstage afterwards and just bang?
I think they cut a good heel promo, and then she takes it up the ass backstage. Because
he's like,
we disappoint him again. Fuck yeah, fuck me up the ass now. Fuck Chicago. Fuck me up the ass, see? It's all sick, just twisted, psychopathic game by Triple H and Stephanie.
Yeah.
Getting off by being heels.
Yeah, you guys really have active. It's like you see like a little nipple shot like through the glass and you just open up like a whole new world.
Active sexual imaginations. That's what I say. It's healthy.
I do miss William Moore. He's a good man.
Hey, I miss you guys, you know? And I was good. And I see, I don't know. I'm totally in the dark about CM Punk. I don't know what's going on with all that.
Mm-hmm.
I just caught what you guys are saying, and I heard, and he quit.
Yeah, he's gone.
I take some brass balls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially coming up with like a Mania payday for him to walk out.
Well, he just wasn't happy about, you know, what angle he was in. He's pretty upset about Daniel Bryan just kind of being pushed to the back burner when he should be in the main event. And he's just showing them that he's not happy about it. So that's basically why he walked out.
Now, when did this happen?
Let's see, about right after Royal Rumble. Like,
oh, yeah, because he disappeared shortly after that.
Yeah,
TV,
like he wasn't
on
the Raw after that, yeah. He did.
Yeah. Because, yeah, he surely disappeared from TV, and I was like, what? Why isn't, you know, you're putting Antonio Cesaro in the Elimination Chamber? Where's Punk?
Yeah, that's true. But I was glad Cesaro was in the Elimination Chamber, but yeah, it's strange.
I mean, Christian?
Yeah,
come
Christian.
Come on, Christian's like, he's the jobber main eventer guy, you know, he knows his spots like to lose every time.
I couldn't understand Christian being in that match, none whatsoever. I was just like,
right?
What the hell is
he doing? I don't
understand
half the time he gets in the main events. What the hell? How do you get him Money in a Bank match? How in the hell does he ever get anywhere?
Exactly.
Doesn't that creepy little bastard just go away? But yeah, definitely the Stephanie and Triple H promo. I mean, that was awesome because you could tell Stephanie just loves being a heel. I just telling Chicago they're inadequate and they're all losers.
I did like Daniel Bryan's retort to Triple H when he was like, "Well, you could just put on a skirt, and then she could wrestle me, and you can just stand there in your skirt." I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, put Stephanie in Triple H's panties. We'll watch that. I'll order that pay-per-view.
I once had a physical where, like, you know, I was trying out for, like, the middle school wrestling team. And, you know, they make you drop your whole deal and, you know, check for a little, like, what do they call it? Like, the bubble, the hernia beside your penis or your balls or whatever. And
okay.
The lady looked at me, and she just said, "Okay, now drop your panties." And I thought she's calling my underwear panties, and that just made me shrivel up inside. I was just like, "How could she call these panties? These are underwear. What the hell?" It was a strange moment in my adolescent years.
Right? Maybe if she said wrestling tights.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, how could she call these panties? These are manly underwear I got on. These tidy whities right here.
What do you guys think of Batista's run so far?
Shit.
Right? I actually got a chance to watch the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. This came out on DVD. And, oh my God, did they just turn against him so quickly in that main event? They just shit all over that Royal Rumble ending. It was so damn funny. They booed for at least 10 minutes straight in that at Batista.
Could you not feel it, though, too? Could you not just feel like, man, this is the guy that's going to be at the WrestleMania, and I do not want to see this.
Right? Did you guys step in to see his promo this past Friday on SmackDown?
Yeah, I watched it. He was just, it was strange.
Right? That was awesome. That was just him just cutting it and fucking saying, fuck you guys. How exactly is that supposed to come about when you have a heel versus now a heel at Mania? How is that going to work?
Yeah, it's not working very well so far.
It's gonna result in just not only like people not like booing the match. I mean, they're just going to hate seeing this match, and I don't understand why they're just so adamant about not having Daniel Bryan go for the title. You're not win the title. Just have him go for the title in the show so people just don't boo the hell out of your main event. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. No one even really wants to see him versus Triple H. They want to see him go for the title. Just do that match.
Match
or have him just wrestle Orton or have Orton drop to Batista and have him wrestle Batista or do a three-way. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't get it. Why? I agree with you.
On
Facebook, they're like, you're an idiot. Anyone with a brain sees that he's going to be added to it. Well, he's certainly in it now.
Well,
during the WrestleMania match itself.
Well, it's just, Jack, that whenever Triple H, he denies Daniel Bryan and he makes the marks angry, he goes to the back and it just turns Stephanie on so much. I mean, best ever. So that's probably why.
You know, it is a little disheartening because I like Gold going. He really likes In Your Head, but he loves like really just like shit. Like he loves RVD and he loves Batista and he loves Devon Dudley. So it does make me wonder like what he sees in Your Head.
Wow, RVD, I can understand, but Devon and Batista, Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, even not being on the internet and just as a fan watching just the shows every week, it just seems practically logical why Daniel Bryan is not in this main event and making a triple threat at this point in juncture because of how shitty Batista's reaction is getting at this point. And even to the point where Randy Orton's cutting promos and acknowledging the fact that he's getting shitty reactions. I mean, how much worse can it get when you expect somebody to pay $60, $70 for that pay-per-view, for that main event? That seems like a fucking dumbass, you know, decision to even order it. Because you know it's just going to be a shitty-ass main event. I mean, even I'm wishing that Hulk Hogan would do a run-in and walk out with the title at this point. That'd be a whole lot better.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I want to like the main event.
I want to like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch a show that I hate.
There really isn't, besides Undertaker versus Brock, there isn't much on that show I want to see.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that really gets your intrigue. I mean, Paul Heyman's promo was just fucking amazing because he turned it from real life and he fucking twisted it to a straight wrestling heel promo that only Paulie can do.
On Facebook, us, you know, talk about Hulk Hogan. They're like, you asshole, you fucking piece of shit. How can you think Hulk Hogan should be in WrestleMania? He's 100 years old. Well, let me ask you this. Which match do you think would get a bigger reaction? Randy Orton or whoever the champion is versus Hulk Hogan, or the Batista versus Randy Orton?
Oh, Hulk Hogan will blow the damn roof off the joint.
So no matter what, that is a better choice than Batista versus Orton.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan being back in the WWE is best for business. He made WrestleMania.
Yes.
He made the first 10. It only is logical that he's back at the 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if he would wrestle in the main event for the title, holy shit, I'd order it in an instant.
How are they going to end a WrestleMania with Batista versus Orton? How are they going to do that?
You got to have a run-in of some sort. You got to have some kind of screwy finish where the McMahons screw over Randy Orton or something to that effect where they ultimately do turn Batista a heel and make Randy Orton a babyface by proxy, because it only seems logical that you just have a funny-ass finish in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they make it a triple threat, or somebody runs in. It only seems logical at this point, because you can't just have a straight up-and-down finish like last year's Mania with Rock versus Cena. There's no way. Because people are going to fucking throw garbage if it's just Randy Orton retains or Batista wins just straight. And they'll be throwing shit.
Is John Cena going to face, like, the Wyatt crew or something?
That's what's looking like, Bray Wyatt versus... I heard Bray Wyatt versus Cena is supposedly what's going to be closing Mania, because Cena's ultimately going to be the man. But that's what I heard.
Who wants to see that?
Right? That's like an Extreme Rules pay-per-view match, or, you know, a June-July pay-per-view match, or a SummerSlam match.
At this
Mania
point,
match.
I'm probably more psyched for the Hall of Fame ceremony than I am for WrestleMania. I mean...
I agree with you there. It was hard to top last year's with the class they had, but they've certainly made an effort with Jake the Snake and Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake Snake deserves it. Ultimate Warrior, you know that speech is going to be something interesting.
And then they announced this week that Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer is going to go into the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that, Jack?
That's well-deserved.
Oh, yeah. I think so, for sure. Jack, are you there? I don't think he's there. There he is.
He obviously deserves it. He's one of the most... beloved characters ever in the WWE, one of the greatest managers of all time, really got over Undertaker in the early stages, and he had a lot great longevity, really, for a manager of the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
So no-brainer should be there. Did a lot for the business, had big runs even before WWE.
Yeah.
And not many guys have big runs as two different characters, but he did, as Percy Pringle and as Paul Bearer, and so just... undoubtedly one of the guys that really deserves
it. Yeah, most definitely. Alrighty, Maury, is there anything else on your mind, my man?
Hey, is it possible, can I listen to the rest of the show?
Yeah, you can put him, leave him on for on mute there.
Yeah, that'd be cool, dude. I appreciate it. It's been a while since I got to listen to you guys.
Yeah, I think Maury's out on his internet. But alrighty, who else we got here on the line, Jackie Jones?
Mike Fink.
Mike.
Hello, boys.
Fink.
How's it going, Mike?
How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, I was at the supermarket the other day, and I'm wearing my IYH wrestling cap, and there's this guy in line behind me, and he's obviously challenged on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, he's got to be a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's staring at my cap, and I keep looking over at him, and then he says to me, is that Isaac Yankum High wrestling team? I honestly couldn't tell if he was trying to make a joke or if he was being serious. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And I said, no, it's a really good internet radio show. You should really listen to it. And he's like, I ain't got no internet. And I said, all right, I'm checking out. So
yeah, screw that guy.
But,
you need internet. That's what he needs.
That's right. Isaac Yankum High, though. That's pretty interesting. That was pretty innovative, I would guess. And I was going to ask him if he knew that Isaac Yankum was Kane, and they said, no, I got kids here that are going to get warm. So. But
I'd avoid that man, on every occasion. He's probably nobody you need to talk to.
You've got him pegged already without even saying it.
He's probably some creepy guy who just trolls the internet and just, I don't know. He's just all about the Trina Michaels matches, which are pretty good.
I was listening to what you guys were saying about, Punk with the contract and everything. I know I've seen a lot of people saying, we should live up to the contract and all that, and as a matter of principle, I understand that, but, if you go back, the whole Montreal Screwjob started with Vince backing out of his contract with Brett.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he had him, signed to this 10-year, 15-year deal, whatever it was,
yeah.
And he says, I can't afford to pay you anymore, and that's when the whole thing started with Brett going to WCW, so, while in principle I understand it, there's clearly a precedent here where,
they do anything they feel like doing whenever it comes to their contracts, but whenever it comes to somebody else,
yeah,
they're like, oh, you need to adhere to this contract. But
yeah, and then, like I heard before on here, if a guy's walking away from a WrestleMania payday, he probably really must have a good reason for it.
Yeah, and they say he's a guy who's saved his money, and he doesn't necessarily have to have the payday, so... he's just very passionate about, you know, professional wrestling and wanting it to be good, which you can't fault him for that. I think everybody here on the internet, you know, they feel the same way.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, we're all going to be the ones who suffer because, you know, he always puts on a good match, and, you know, the way this card is looking. You know, the thing with Lesnar, I mean, he's going to lose again on a pay-per-view, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's this massive badass, and, you know, they've brought him back, and, you know, I mean, he looks tough between pay-per-views, and then you get him into those matches, and he just keeps losing.
You know, I'm pretty sure the average mark would just say, you know, he's going to come out and just lose just because it's the streak, and the Undertaker, he always wins, but that's just not going to be the case with this WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar, he's going to come out there and he's going to show that goofy old bastard who can only find, you know, one time of the year to come back is for the biggest show, and he's coming back for WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar is just going to kill the streak this WrestleMania. It's over. That goofy streak, it's going to be stricken right off the board.
Match. I'm really looking forward to it, and the streak will never die, but
streak's going to end, Jack.
It might just be the end of Undertaker because he takes a couple F5s, and he might just be obliterated.
Well, that ain't good. Just killed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Lesnar deserves better. I think he should be winning more and really be built up more. I'm way in the minority here, but I actually would have liked to see Daniel Bryan against Undertaker and have Bryan end the streak.
I really wouldn't want to see that. I don't think that match has much value to me. Like,
well, you would have to build it right, but I mean, at least,
but I don't know how much
Lesnar can carry Undertaker at this point.
Interesting to fans. I really think the only match for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania is for the title.
Yeah.
I think Elsa fans are going to be...
Honestly, I think that would probably be the only thing that could get a heel reaction on Daniel Bryan right now if he did beat the streak.
But why would you want to have it? Why make him a heel?
I don't think he would have to be a heel. I mean, even when Shawn Michaels was going against Undertaker, I mean, I know he was officially the heel, but there were still a lot of people rooting for him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that the streak should never end.
I think
it should end at some point.
Better, because if you actually, if Daniel Bryan is a legit main guy and it's a belt for a while and stuff, but I don't really see that match right now as like being a really big deal.
Well, if he's not going to be in the title match, which I think he should be, and I know we've talked about this before, I mean, I think they're just crazy for not putting him in, you know, not planning well enough in advance that he should have been in a title match. But I don't know if Lesnar can carry the Undertaker to a match at this point.
I don't think he's a guy who really needs to be carried to a match. I mean, he's the Undertaker. He's been having awesome matches.
Oh, I mean, no, I have the utmost respect for the guy, but, you know, he's getting older and he's only doing, you know, a couple of matches a year. And, you know, I don't know what.
I think style wise,
I'm not crazy about it. I think style wise against the other guys the last couple of years, it worked out. I don't know about this year.
I think I prefer an Undertaker versus Lesnar match. It's more appealing to me than a Undertaker Daniel Bryan match. I don't know. He just towers over Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan's great and all, but he's just not like a guy I would really believe like going in there and beating.
I have a little bit of a problem with him just facing Triple H just from that standpoint, because Triple H is a pretty big dude, and he's going to be towering over Bryan.
Yeah.
It's going to be odd seeing them, you know, wrestle in the ring, mm-hmm. let alone just the bad storyline, you know, altogether.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people think that the streak should never end. I disagree completely. You build this whole thing up all this time to cash in on it ending. I don't think, you know, you get anything out of it by letting him just retire with it going on. But who that goes to, I don't know. Yeah, that's very debatable at this point. I don't know, maybe somebody like Reigns next year or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll go to Biggie Langston, you know, when he gets him into, like, the dirty thigh, like, smother. Just smothering.
No, I really think that you should never end it. You, if you end it, you're ruining something that you could just keep going forever. For what? For one moment? And I don't think it really...
Well, only when he's ready to be done. I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to be going out there when he's... You know.
You just make people sad. I would just keep it going. It's a nice little story, and something that's gonna always be there. It's more. I mean, people get excited about it. People like it, and if it ends,
yeah, I like it too and everything. But I think, you know,
if you end it, then what do you have?
Cash in on it again.
Not the streak anymore.
Yeah, only when he's ready to go. Obviously, I mean, you don't do it prematurely. If he thinks he can go for another 3-4 years, then you absolutely milk it from a business perspective. Don't get me wrong, but
I would never end it, in my opinion. Never in the street. Intra, he would end it like a couple years ago versus like Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, Bad News Barrett. He should have ended that streak. The hell's the matter with that man? I mean, CM Punk, what the hell's the matter with him? He didn't end the streak either.
I heard there was an idea of opening Raw where it would have been just Bad News Barrett saying, "Bad news, everybody, CM Punk's not here." That actually would have been my favorite Bad News Barrett saying.
He had a good one on it was like a main event, and they're like in Colorado, and he was like, "It appears that I'm not the only one who's as high as could be in this state," or something like that. It was good stuff. I just like how, like, happy he is with himself when he's doing that. He just seems so content. It's like, it appears I have some bad news. And it's just that smile on his face. I love it.
Yeah, is he ever going to wrestle again?
I don't care if he does. I just see him do a stupid little podium. It's awesome. I don't know why. That's definitely going to be my guilty pleasure. For this year as well.
You think he'll last a year?
Probably not. And I'll probably forget by the time this year's up.
Mm-hmm. I do want to mention something.
All right.
Now you bring that up. Over on iwatchwrestling.com on the message board, which is, it's got some new people joining here. Intra's been posting again. So if you haven't been to the board for a while, go over to iwatchwrestling.com and, either start posting or make a new account, whatever you want to do. But anyway, there's a guy over there, and he calls in the show. He has a really stinking penis, and that is Taz of the Greek. And he has a thing going on the message board where, let me find it here. Basically, he has agreed to watch every wrestling event all year round, every independent he can possibly see, everything on television, everything televised, from Main Event to Impact to Raw to SmackDown, everything in the world, he's just watching, eating it up. And so he's doing this thing where he's keeping track of the headies, like, you know, the best wrestler, best match, biggest draw, all this stuff, and he's going to constantly update it as the year goes along. And so by the end of the year, he's going to have, like, a live go-to for his picks for the Heady Awards.
Hmm.
And it's like this. So just to go over it right now. Right now, on his list, let me find it here. We got his list here. All right. We'll start at the bottom here. Comeback Wrestler of the Year, he's got Chris Hero at 4. Christian at 3 and Merrick Brave at 1. Maybe we should just stop reading this, because who the fuck is Merrick Brave? Honestly, who the fuck is Merrick Brave? Anyway, guilty pleasure. He's got Rockstar Spud. Oh my god.
Well, that's my guilty pleasure too. I can't explain it. I just laugh at the guy.
And Ken,
shortcoming on my part.
Hold on, Merrick Brave. How can you become a comeback wrestler of the year when no one even knew you were around to begin with, or that you were away to come back? Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be comeback wrestler of the year, you've had to been someone to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you had to have left And people had to have been sad that you were gone. And to be sad that you were gone, they would have had to known you were gone. And to know you were gone, they would have had to known who you were when you were there. No one knows who Merrick Brave is, was, or ever will be. So that's it. I'm not reading anymore. I'm fired up. I've got now. I was all excited about it. I'm not reading it.
Maybe by the time, you know, the final cut is made, it's like, she, whoever that is, won't be in. I can't even say if it's a she or he.
Yeah, Merrick Brave!
What is that? Is it an Indian?
Is this something he made up? Is this a character? Is this like a create his own wrestler in some fantasy wrestling league?
Let's see. Boxman's got a. Merrick Brave is a dude!
Who the fuck? What does he wrestle for?
I've never seen him before.
This guy looks... I'm sorry, Merrick Brave, if you listen to the show, but he looks like a flamer. He just looks like a total fag.
I won't go that far, but still, I've never seen that face before in my life.
What does he do? Who does he wrestle for?
River City Wrestling.
How is that? No! That if someone sends me a ballot next year and it says comeback rest of the year Merrick Brave, I'm not even gonna count that as one vote. That's just infinity section.
All right, there's another picture. Okay, I agree with Jack now.
Yes. He looks like your boy. You gotta have my boy on.
Oh, man. Making the boy cry.
Should I just tell that story? I mean, I don't really give a shit anymore.
You've kind of alluded to it before, but I don't think you gave it all the details.
Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, I was like, you know, I shouldn't say this stuff because, you know, I'm trying to be a good dude, trying to keep, you know, I don't want heat on In Your Head, Incher. Mm-hmm. But fuck it. We were going to have... Abdul the Butcher on the show. And he contacted me, and he's on Facebook, and he's like, you know, he wants to come on the show. So, like, awesome. I loved Abdul the Butcher as a kid. This was before he was doing a lot of shoots. And so there was still, like, this mystique about him talking. And plus, you know, he's a legend. So, cool, Abdul the Butcher. He's like, but you have to have my boy on. So I was like, all right, sure, okay. You know, it's cool for us to have him on. So we do something for Abdul. We're going to interview his protege. And so I was like, all right. So it from there, it was like, it was just constantly on me. Anytime I was on Facebook, he's just like, when are you interviewing my boy? Did you call my boy? Where's the banner for my boy? Why did you make a banner for Bobby Heenan? Where's the banner for my boy? Where's the banner for the legend? And he'd always call me boy. He's like, boy, why don't you do this? And he's like, oh, God. He's a very disrespectful man, Abdul the Butcher. And just demanding, like he wants your attention at all times. So anyway, so long story short, I was told by a mutual friend that If Abdul is asking for this, to make sure you do the interview with Abdullah first, because otherwise it's going to be you're going to interview his quote unquote boy, and then it'll come time for his interview and he'll find a reason to cancel it. So basically, we would do an interview for his guy, and then we would never get the Abdullah the Butcher interview. So I wanted to book him first, and he wouldn't have it. It was basically how this person set it out to me. It was, we're going to interview his boy, and then, like, in a couple weeks, we'd interview him. And so still, I was like, okay, we'll try this. Whatever. So I was looking up pictures of this guy. And I'm going to try to find this guy's name. I can't remember it offhand, but I do know that he won. It was, like, Future Legends at the Cauliflower Hourly Club. So I'm going to put that in, and I'll be able to find from the boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to talk to Mike Fink for a second, and then I will resume this story.
Finding the boy conversation, but Mike Fink?
Well, I was actually going to tell you,
you personally, Inter, Drive By Trucker's got a new album out that is exceptional.
Okay. See, I haven't listened to a whole lot of her stuff since Jason Isbell left, so.
Yeah, this one's I think the best since then.
Okay.
It's really good, and they're going to be on Conan O'Brien tomorrow night, I believe.
Okay, cool. Perform. Cool.
So, it is a good album.
To see that, like, one of their tunes was on the it's like a car commercial, like some like motor oil commercial or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like what's that tune where the devil doesn't stay or something like that? It was on.
Oh, okay,
it was on the Dirty South.
Mike Foley's song, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's a terrific song. Yeah, they're good guys. I like them. They're gonna be up here in New York in a couple of weeks. I think I'm gonna go check them out again.
Okay.
But it's quite a good album.
Here we go. I found him. Kyle Sebastian. Won it 2011, Kyle Sebastian. So we're going to have Kyle Sebastian on the show. He's Abdullah the Butcher's boy, and this would lead into the Abdullah the Butcher interview. So it's going on and on and on, and he's just constantly, no matter when I'm on Facebook, it would be, boy, how are you treating the legend, blah, 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 blah. And so I really got fed up, and this was back when I was nicer isn't the right term, but I was more political, where it would be like, if a guy's annoying, I would work with them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Today it's I'm a little more bitter, a little like more callous, and I just fuck this, thank you. But so it got to the point though when I just told them, I was like, this is just not going to work out. I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen. Thanks for your time. And he like went crazy. He was like, boy, if I see you if I see you anywhere, he's like basically threatened. He's like going to beat me up or cut me up and all this crazy stuff. And he also, before that, he was like, you're making the boy cry. He said that in quote, you're making the boy cry. So by not having Kyle Sebastian on In Your Head because Abdul the Butcher was just being a total asshole, we were making him cry. Mm-hmm. And whenever I've seen pictures of Kyle Sebastian, and I'm sorry, Kyle Sebastian, if you're out there, I don't know if he still wrestled. But he
get those tissues out.
But he looks very effeminate. He looks very, what do they call it, metrosexual?
Mm-hmm.
Even in his poses, he's got like, he's kind of pulling down like the front of his, like his jeans, and he's got them unzipped, and it's very, the opposite of heterosexual. And so my point is, if he was Abdullah the Butcher's quote unquote boy, it made me wonder what that entails. And if you are going to be, in the words of Kamala, the Ugandan giant, if you're going to be pushing and pulling for Abdul the Butcher of all people, if what you're getting out of that is an appearance on In Your Head, it is not worth it, Kyle Sebastian.
Run as far as you can.
Yes, I think it is time to just walk away from the world of wrestling.
Hello,
who is this? Is this Kyle Sebastian?
Ellie Babes.
What?
I know.
Holy shit!
I'm licking up because I'm really angry.
What's that?
First of all, how's everyone's favorite podcast host?
Who is that? Jim Ross?
You, of course.
Oh!
You.
I'm doing good. I'm doing really big.
Awesome. What's the deal with President? Is he killed Incher and taken his place, or is he just part-time?
Incher's here now.
I'm right here, yeah. I've been on most of the shows that the president's been on.
Oh wow! Do you pay President a lot, or
we
he pays up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, Jack, this is what I'm really up about, and I'm really, really pissed off, okay? Basically, Triple H is just, like, what is he? Is he a face or a heel? Like, he's on this, like, next launch saying, oh, are you ready? And he looks really
He's on NXT. When he's on NXT, I think he's on NXT as the owner of the company, the legit owner of the company, and he's kind of like, he's a baby face. He's there as the owner, and you're cheering for him. And I think when he's on there, he looks legitimately, genuinely happy to be there. I think no matter what you say about Triple H, I think he loves professional wrestling. He loves the young guys. He, in that the Butcher way, he actually loves, you know, these guys and wants to see them do well. And so I like that. I mean, this guy he's happy to start this and be part of it and to see you guys grow from one part to make it to the WWE. And there was recently he did a press call where you could call in and talk to Triple H about NXT. And he legit seemed very happy about it. And he's taken over the developmental, and he likes seeing these guys grow and become performers. And he says it's almost like seeing his kids. And he even compared NXT crowd to ECW, which I thought was interesting, because usually ECW is very taboo in the world of WWE. But I know,
but my point is, on Raw, he's an absolute asshole.
Well, Raw, he is the heel. The character plays on Raw is a heel, and I understand that could be weird, especially now that they're showing NXT on the network, because you have a guy you're supposed to hate on one show, and then on the other show you want to cheer him in a way, or you're happy for him. So I can see how that's odd. I didn't really take me out of it, though, I will say.
It really pisses me off that people have said for like 10 months, oh, the whole plan right along is to get, like, Daniel Bryan, where the fans are dying for him to win, and finally they get that big pop at WrestleMania. And after all that, it looks like he isn't even bloody going to be in the title match at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone said it's going to culminate in that big pop at WrestleMania, and he's not even going to be in the title match at WrestleMania. So what of all the people who've been saying for the last year, WWE know what they're doing, they're just saving it for that big pop. And it's clear that they weren't doing that. Do you know what I mean? It's probably going to be in a title match at SummerSlam. Do you see what I mean? It's really retarded.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Okay, people have been saying for about a year, right, that WWE are saving Daniel Bryan for that big pop at WrestleMania.
Exactly. I agree. I'm going to agree with Yelly Babe, because that was always the thing. I was like, you know, he got killed at this pay-per-view. He got killed at this pay-per-view. He got killed on Raw. And people are like, well, the end of the story is he is going to succeed and he's going to get the title. It never happened. He never had his big moment where he got the belt. And now you've got the granddaddy of them all, the Showcase of the Immortals, the biggest stage there is. And he's not even in the match to win the belt. So all this 8 months of destruction is still not getting a payoff. And if it does get paid off at WrestleMania, you're missing the big stage. This is the time to do it. This is the time where he should have the big payoff. All these months of destruction, it finally leads to him, the hero of the story, finally succeeding. But if...
Yeah, in a sense, it's kind of, I know they're totally different guys, but in a sense, it's similar to Ryback, because a couple of years ago, when Ryback was a red-hot face, and then he just lost pay-per-view after pay-per-view, he kept getting screwed every time, and after 6 months, people kept saying, oh, don't worry, he's going to get the big one soon, and 2 years later, you know, it's led nowhere, do you know what I mean? It's kind of a similar thing, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, they get guys that are really over, and they build them up to a certain, and then they don't pull the trigger and fire them off into the main event spot.
There was never a payoff as Ryback, was there? He just lost every match for like a year, and that was it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know this Bulgarian guy, whatever his name is, right?
Alexander Rusev.
Do you think they'll go there and try and, you know, work some European angle with what's going on in Ukraine at the moment?
Oh, I don't know. We'll find out.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to know what the garbage is whenever they spell out his name on TV. I know how to spell Alexander. And what they put up there, it's not Alexander.
By the way, it is so clever what they're doing with the WWE Network, because anytime you go on WWE.com, it comes up in big flash, sign up for the WWE Network, it's free trial, so people are going to sign up for the trial, and then when they've done that, they're basically hooked. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They rope you in like a porno site.
Yeah. Intra, do you remember when I made that animation of you murdering Barbie a couple of years ago? Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I'd have to check that one out.
It was like an animation where you'd murdered Barbie. It was about 3 years ago.
You don't have.
Do you remember that, Jack?
I don't.
Only I did.
But I do. I do know that you constantly harass me on Facebook.
Oh, it's just friendly messages, Jack. That's all.
No, it's insane, and it really should just stop. They hung up.
It's insane, and it really should just stop. I think that'll stop him.
I think so.
Oh man. So, all right, Jackie Jones, Pride of the Pilgrim. DJ Curly Bear.
Yes.
Coming out with any more tunes?
Yeah, we're going to have the Jackie Jones Plantation coming up, which is the first hip-hop track about slavery told through the eyes of the slave owner. And we'll also have Straight Out of Cape Cod. Those are the two tracks I'll be working on that will come out next, and then this will lead to a full-on CD that will be available for a purchase.
Hmm. Huh. Cool.
Yeah.
Who else is on the line here?
All right. We've got Mike. Oh, we were talking to Mike Fink. Was there anything else you wanted to add before I let you go?
No, I'm good, guys. Thanks very much. Great show again, as always. I will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Be well, boys.
Yes, you as well.
Bye.
All right. We got Shaheen on the line.
Shaheen?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, it's going good.
Yes, sir.
Going good.
Oh, man, that was a weird caller. Last guy.
Yes.
Not Mike Fink, but Ellie Babes.
Yeah, the guy that hung up.
Mm-hmm.
But,
with, you've been harassing me on Facebook, and it really should stop, and the guy just hangs up. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Jack does it, man. I can barely listen to these fucking calls. I can't imagine, you know, dealing with this 24 hours a day.
Mm,
textbook
yeah.
messages and all that shit. Like, I don't know. God bless you guys.
It would be rough.
I'm guessing Andrew gets a little bit less since, I don't know, the weirdos tend to like Jack a little bit more. All the horror stuff.
Yeah, they're all about
You know what you say about the horror stuff, but honestly, there's not crazy horror stalkers. The vast majority of the crazy stalkery type from...
Still fucking wrestling, isn't it? Oh, my God.
And that's been around for a long time. I mean, that guy there that just called in has been he's been around the show since about 2006. And then there's a few other ones. There's I won't even bother. But Intra knows there's a guy that's been on the board, and he's come and gone under several names, and he's still around under a different name in the chat room. And I've banned IP bans like I don't know, probably like. Dozens of times, but he just keeps coming back, so it's kind of pointless, but what can he do?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Good luck with that. I know that that Forte guy, he was kind of getting weird with you.
Yeah, that was a very weird one. He was a guy who actually, he was all right. I mean, he was always a little weird, but I don't mind weird. That's fine by me, but then it got, like, very bizarre. And,
that's the guy that actually came over to my house the one time, and I showed with him one time, and he was, like, completely normal. Mm-hmm. And then this stuff happened with you, and then I just, like, I don't know, he just, like, fell off the face of the earth. Like, deleted me from Facebook and everything. I don't know, man. Wrestling fans. You know? But, hey, I want to apologize in advance, man, because I'm a little bit pissed off as far as wrestling, so I might rant a little bit. So.
All right, let's see.
You guys still there?
Yep.
Yeah, well, remember Extreme Rise, and I told you guys they were going to have a show last week.
Uh-huh.
This fucking guy, they canceled the show. I know I sent you guys the video message. And, you know, I mean, I understand things happen, man, but how many fucking times? You know, I mean, every show they got something that happens, and then, you know, you have to feel sympathy for them and feel sympathetic some type of way towards them. And, like, you know, this guy, he goes on there and, you know, on his Facebook, and he's constantly complaining about, oh, I'm doing so much promoting for this wrestling organization. You guys don't know how much work it is. Well, you know, like, dude, you're in the business for it. I'm not, you know. That's the type of problems that you have to deal with. I don't want to hear that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I guess the inspection didn't pass because of the bathrooms of the ECW arena, which they really don't even have bathrooms. It's pretty much like a third world country. So I don't know. But it's just I don't really believe it. Like, how is it possible that like a day before the event is you know, taking place, they cancel the show? It's just kind of bizarre to me. I don't really believe it.
That's shitty. It's just like, you know, you try to get behind this. You try to support not only a local company or an independent company on the independent level. You want to support all these guys that are involved. You know, not only just, you know, people, that's a big thing about the ECW thing, is people felt, you know, personally connected to the guys. Like, you legit wanted to see these guys do well. You want to see the company itself. You wanted to see all the employees, from the refs to the security guys to the performers. You wanted to see them all do well. And I always think that's the thing that's really overlooked by a lot of people. When they talk about ECW, they really just talk about the blood and guts. But to me, it was really the emotional connection. But anyway, you wanted to see all these people do well. Then you also want to see an independent company do well. Then you also want to see new guys do well, like Luke Hawks and everybody. And it's obviously not those guys' fault. It's the people that are actually, you know, running the company itself. And then, so they take all this goodwill and all this emotion people have for these guys, and they just kind of shit on it. And it's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man, because, you know, the owner, Steve O'Neill, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but, you know, he seems like he's legit a good guy. You know, I don't think he's purposely doing it. I mean, of course he's not purposely doing it. It's bad for business. Why would he purposely do it? But I don't think he just doesn't plan things right. You know, like I told you a couple of weeks ago, he got the dates wrong for the Pittsburgh show, and then they canceled that one due to snow, and it didn't even snow. You know,
uh-huh.
And you know, I live in Pennsylvania. They said it was a state emergency. I mean, come on, man, it didn't even snow an inch. You know. I don't know. I think they're just making excuses, and I do hope that they survive, because, you know, it's close to my house, not really close, but a half hour drive, but, you know, it's some kind of entertainer for me, and it reminds me of my childhood going to the ECW arena and stuff. But, you know, how many times can you give these guys a chance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, they just recently had a show, and one thing, I don't want to just badmouth them, I don't want to just sound like a dick, but, you know, they, there was a couple of independent shows that were, in the Delaware area, I believe. And Luke Hawks and Stevie Richards, they were booked for those shows the next day after the Extreme Rising. So I guess, you know, just to make the fans happy for the ones that bought tickets, they gave them a refund, and they also gave them a ticket for, you know, the show that I think it's called ECWA. I never heard of it, but whatever. Anyway, Luke Hawks, he wins the title from Stevie Richards at the show, right? So he's technically the champion now. And then a day later, they say, "Oh, well, that was a mistake, because it wasn't a heavyweight title match."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, doesn't that just sound? I hope it's a work. I hope it's not just like some kind of miscommunication. Because if it is a miscommunication, man, that is terrible. That's horrible. Like, you guys, like, come on, man. I think Songman could run a fucking wrestling organization better than that, man. I mean.
It would be all women,
pretty much, yeah.
I mean, isn't that kind of weird to you guys that this guy wins the title
and then they just like take the title back from them, and it doesn't really seem like a wrestling angle. It's just, like, if it was a work, I'd be like, all right, cool. But it's just like, it seems like they just kind of like, I don't know. I guess the other wrestling organization was under the wrong impression that they were, you know, defending the title at their show, but I have no idea. But in my opinion, that's just, it looks really stupid. That's all.
Yeah, it's hard to get into that too. I mean, you want to follow this new company, then they just take the belt off the guy. Once you see like him rise and finally get the belt, it's just bad.
And the thing is, they have a really good formula. You know, so many organizations try to redo ECW. They're not really trying to redo ECW. The main attraction is bringing the old ECW guys back and then introducing the new guys like Facade and, you know, Luke Hawks and guys like that. And people are, you know, starting to get invested in those guys. So they, you know, after a couple of years, they start coming, not even a couple of years, a couple of months, if they, you know, constantly do shows, people will start coming back for those guys, you know. So they have a good formula and the shows are awesome. I just, like, you know, the way they schedule things is terrible. Like, whoever's, you know, the business part of it just needs a whole lot of work. But, you know, they put on really good shows, so I hope they do well. But I don't know. I'm just frustrated with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad. But, yeah, it just sucks. I don't know what else to say about that. But I want to thank you for calling in, Shaheen. You're always a good caller.
Hey, before I leave, you guys didn't really talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Chicago crowd, man, I mean, weren't they supposed to hijack that shit, man? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people said that, but at the same time, to me, WWE changed that whole Raw. They changed again that Raw, had them actually have someone go out there and cut a promo based on this. So I think in a way it did succeed, because if it was a total, failure, WWE just would have ignored it, but they did, and they actually changed their program for it. So I think in a lot of ways it was a success.
I just wish they would do more. Personally, I think it's stupid to try to hijack the show. I think it just sounds dumb. But,
people there.
Yeah, it sounds childish, you know. It's not real, you know.
And
it sounds childish.
Walk
but.
Out. I'm a guy who is defending if you don't like it there to walk out, but that being said, he did walk out, so I don't think it's right for the fans then to hijack the show. If WWE was keeping him off the show, that would be one thing, but they're not. It was his decision, so I don't think it's really right to hijack the show and mess up the show for the other fans in attendance and the other wrestlers who were there because someone walked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely thought you know, I thought Punk had a lot of balls for doing this, and now that a couple weeks went by, I'm like, I'm thinking this guy is just being a dick. You know, he didn't have that much left on his contract. I'm sure, you know, 5 more months wouldn't have killed him.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it's just till April or something.
Yeah, just finish WrestleMania. That's I mean, me personally, I could care less, because you know they're pushing Cesaro now, so I'm happy either way. But for the ones that are really invested in Punk, I mean. Especially for his hometown, you know. I thought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you got some other callers, man. I don't want to hold you guys up.
No, you're a great caller, though. But do appreciate you calling in. We will talk to you soon.
Yeah. All right, man. Take care.
See you. All right, man.
Yes, sir.
We got the man. Anytime he sees an ass, he is going to swax it.
Swax
and
it.
That is the Swaxinator.
What's going on, people?
It's going good, Swaxy.
It's cold, miserable up here in the Northeast.
Yeah, the weather's been kind of rough this winter. I think just up here in this area, it's been pretty bad. I know Monday I had a pretty bad snow day. Jack, has the winter been bad in your area?
Horrible. I'm normally a guy that doesn't mind the cold, but this winter, it's just been it's just cold and never gets warm, and it's just snowing, like, every week. Like, every time the snow starts to go away, it snows again, and it sucks.
Most death.
See, when the weather is cold, all I have to know is I can hug it out with both of you.
There you go. Let's make a swag sandwich, Incher. Lather up some mayo on Incher, throw a slice of swax in the middle. put some mustard on Jackie Jones and slap us together.
Oh, yeah. You got yourselves a Swax Hug It Out sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it that they make Cesaro and Jack Swagger hug it out?
No, that's kind of weird.
Just has Cesaro turn face. People want to cheer him. Swagger's kind of shitty. Break him.
That's your review, Swagger. You're just kind of shitty.
Yeah, he's kind of a shitbag. How about poor Big E, though? He's like just like this goof. He just happens to be in the match, and then the guys just run in at will and beat his ass. And then it's basically he's a pawn for these other two guys to fight.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why they always have him, like, interrupt, and then, like, he got the final shot in, so he doesn't look too bad.
I'm not sold on Big E. There was that match, which I did praise on the show, but anyway, if you are gonna push him, you have to push him. And his push is weird, because one week he'll be this monster guy, but then the other week he'll just get beat. And I remember even, like, they had a six-man match with him and I think the Rhodes brothers, and he was the guy who got pinned on the match, and I was like, maybe it was him and the Usos, whatever. And I was like, that's just dumb. I mean, he's the guy you're trying to build as this monster. He should be protected more. And I don't know. They don't know how to push guys very well, it seems. It's kind of like this lost art.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
The IC title really has no meaning right now because the United States title is still around. And I was wondering why they haven't merged those two titles together so that the IC title does have a meaning for once.
Mm-hmm. Maria here in the chat room, she wants to get on the sandwich, Incher.
She wants
to get in the Inch Jackie Jones sandwich. I do just want to ask her a question. Does she want mustard on the front or mayo in the back? That's what we're going to find out. If you know what I'm saying. All right, what are you saying, Swax?
Yeah, so, you know, the IC title and the United States title, they really have no meanings in the business, in the WWE. And, you know, Dean has held that title for a long time. They haven't had him defend that title and forever. So what kind of meaning is it that you know, you have a title like that and you can't defend it? So I would say that have at WrestleMania that Dean Ambrose goes against Big E Langston, title for title, just like the when they had Cena versus Orton, and Orton won. You know, they should have something like that. Let Big E get over because, you know, he's the singles competitor, not Dean Ambrose. And let him run with it and make him a big star out of it. But as long as they have the two titles like that, you're not going to have any meetings out of it.
Hmm. That's not a bad match.
What?
I think it's a pretty decent match. Unify the two titles.
Yeah, do it. Do it at WrestleMania.
Sounds good to me.
Other belts, one belt. We don't need 50,000 titles. We got one world title now. That's all I need. You just need one secondary belt. And even though the U.S. belt has history, this is the WWE. The Intercontinental belt has the history of the WWE. Just have the IC belt. Get rid of the U.S. belt.
Exactly.
Yeah, also, I want to talk about the CM Punk situation.
All right. Were you there at Raw? No, you
no,
were Philly, right?
Yeah, so
I was in Philly a month or two ago. A few months now.
Yeah, that's SmackDown there.
Yeah, well, I was just there. Wasn't that SmackDown? Go on.
Yeah, so CM Punk, probably Vince McMahon, went to Chicago maybe like a month ago, and they had a meeting, and Vince probably told CM Punk he has no room for him at WrestleMania. I mean, they already pre-booked Daniel Bryan going against Triple H, which is a totally, totally meaningless match for Daniel Bryan at a huge pay-per-view like that. Unless they come out with some stipulation like, you know, Triple H will challenge him and say, okay, if you want me at WrestleMania, it's going to come to a price. Okay, if you lose to me at WrestleMania, you're fired.
No.
But if you
are
able to beat me in the showcase of the immortals,
the showcase of the immortals, the granddaddy of them all, Incher. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania.
It like Triple H says, if you could beat me at WrestleMania, you could have a title shot anytime, anywhere. And eventually it will mean something for Daniel Bryan to win that match, because if he could win that match,
I think it should just be, if you can beat me, then you're getting in this world title match.
Mm-hmm.
That same night, then you're telling a story where Daniel Bryan's not only got to beat two guys in the three man for the title, he's got to beat Triple H even get in it. Then he beats Triple H. Then he's in this match with Orton and Batista. It's not going to get booed out of the building because their hero is in the match. You get a final end to the story you've been telling for 8 months, which is Daniel Bryan finally, against all odds, he finally gets the belt. He's finally in there and gets the belt, and you're doing it on the biggest stage of them all. It puts everything together. It solves all your problems. And then, from there, then you can blast them off. You're like, oh my God, WrestleMania. Not only was it the end of the story, but now, it is now the beginning of the story. Because it is the beginning, the starting point of Daniel Bryan as our guy. He finally gets all odds against Triple H, Randy Orton, everyone, Big Show, crying like a baby on New Year's with the diapers on, everything. Is there. And now he's won the belt. That's not the end. That's the end of chapter one of this story. But now it is the beginning of chapter two. And chapter two is Daniel Bryan taking that belt that he beat everyone for, that he won against all odds, and now your hero is the man, he is the champion, he is the face of the company, as they say. And now he takes that belt. And he hits the road, and he defends the title on Raw, on pay-per-views, and now on the network. If people go, yes, 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 our man is there. We're coming to the shows. We're buying the tickets. We're buying the network to see our guy, to see our man, Daniel Bryan, defend the title.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you saw our hero, Steve Austin, our hero, Hulk Hogan, our hero, Bruno Sammartino, and for all those dirty Puerto Ricans, our hero, Pedro Morales, back in the 70s. All those people, now they've got a hero in Daniel Bryan. They're like, yeah, he's that homeless guy with the shitty beard. But we love him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We love the man. And what? 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 Yes, yes, yes. And we follow him. He is now the champ. We ain't got two guys we don't give a shit about fighting the belts. No, we've got the man that we love.
Exactly.
You've got Daniel Bryan, and you can continue this storyline if you want, because then you have the authority. And what do? They say, we got this champ. We got this guy. We don't want to have the belt. So they keep throwing guys at him. They're like, holy shit. Well, we're sending this guy after. We're sending, I don't know, the sweet tea after. We're sending whoever it is. And he defeats him. You feed the heels that Daniel Bryan is champion. And he's always the underdog because he's a small guy who's overcoming the odds. But he still finds a way to always beat them at the end with hard work.
Exactly.
And there you go. It is simple storytelling, but it's storytelling that I want to see. That is why I love wrestling. That is what I want to see. And that's what they should do, Swacks.
And that's what they should do.
Jack,
more subscriptions to the network.
You should be in WWE Creative right now. Because you would be the savior of the main event at WrestleMania.
See, sure.
He did it. with just a swoop of his hand.
Because I guarantee you, if it's Batista versus Randy Orton in the main event of WrestleMania, I hope and I pray and I wish that during the main event of that WrestleMania, everyone in the Superdome gets up off of their seats and leaves the building as they're wrestling. And don't care who wins that match, because that will not be an entertaining match. Nobody would care who even the WWE champion leaving that match is. It would be an absolute car wreck of the biggest pay-per-view of the year that nobody gives two shits about. And they would have to really, really do something about it. And nobody would even tune into that match.
I think if I bought a ticket, though, I would probably punish myself and force myself to sit through the match.
Well, why would you want to sit through a match, hear nothing but boos go throughout the whole stadium of 80,000 people?
Just to see what happens at the end, I guess. Maybe a run-in will happen. Who knows?
It's going to be worthless.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see Batista versus Batista.
If they really do go Batista Orton, which is mind-boggling, really, if they, for whatever reason, they're just hell-bent on doing that match, or just like, we won't give the fans what they want, we're just doing this, and no matter what, the fans will just boo and shit all over the match, you can't put that match on last, and it's very stupid. I mean, I am a guy who believes that the World Championship should always be on last, but it's going to get booed out, and people want to see Undertaker match more, they want to see Daniel Bryan versus Triple H more, so just put... if you have a world title match that you can't put on last because it can't follow these other matches, you have the wrong guys in. You have the wrong guys in that world title match. I'm also not a believer of the belt helping a guy or whatever, all this shit, or a guy who is a draw on his own doesn't need the title. I don't like that thinking either. I think the top guy should be the champion.
There you go.
And if you,
I mean, it's one thing that
you're, if you're, this is WrestleMania, if the guys that are main eventing it should be able to main event it. And if not, then that is a problem. If they can't follow Undertaker versus Lesnar, if they can't follow Triple H versus Daniel Bryan, then they don't deserve to be in the main event of WrestleMania. They shouldn't have the belts. One of those guys should not be the champion. That should not be your championship match. The championship match should be able to main event any show.
I mean, you know, if you look at, like, when Hulk Hogan went against The Rock at WrestleMania, how they booed the living shit out of Rock when
that's a totally different thing, though. That was a great match because they might have booed the one guy, but they loved the other guy. This match is totally different because they're going to boo both guys. They're going to boo the match itself. They're not going to want to see the match. And that's,
yeah, why can't everybody just, during the match, get up, walk out of the stadium?
Because you're paying $1,000, then you're paying like a grand, or maybe over a grand, once you figure in your tickets, your transportation, your hotel, all the stuff, to just get up and walk out of something. I mean, you'd be a moron, basically.
Spend all that money,
then don't even buy it. Then don't buy tickets. Then don't go.
So it'll be a mistake.
If you have to walk out of a show that you paid a whole bunch of money for, you're a moron.
But to sit there and just boo the main event of WrestleMania, there's not going to be one cheer in the crowd.
Walking out of something you paid for. I mean, who's if you get up and walk out, who's the mark? Who's the dumbass here? WWE that's getting your money while you get up and walk away? Or you, who paid all this money to WWE and you're getting up and walking out. You're the dumbass.
Yeah, but you don't want to see these two people in that match.
I know, but then don't do the match. Or don't buy tickets to go see it. Don't just watch it on the network.
I mean, everybody bought the WrestleMania tickets late last year.
Well,
thinking that, oh, it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk.
I would not.
In a WrestleMania this year. And look what happened.
I'm not. Would you pay a bunch of money and just get to walk away?
No, I'd have to see what would happen at the end. I mean, if you show displeasure for the match, I mean, that's fine. But, like, you want to see what happens if there's, like, a run-in or something good happens. I mean, you always got to have a little bit of hope. And you don't want to just walk out on the match that you paid a lot of money for.
I mean you're going to just sit there.
I heard enough of this. I'm getting up and walking away. All right, thank you, Swag. So you are good. That was a good call. That's a good point. All right. Got one more caller here. You guys want to call in, do it, and do it now. Otherwise, we're going to take this call, and we're going to wrap it up. Inchman.
Yes, sir.
We've got... What?
Yes, sir.
We've got... He's excited. He's gotten the fingers up. He's clapping. He's putting his hands together maniacally. He's rubbing his hands together like he's about to kick some ass. He is all human a damn. All human a ha. Human a ha. Human a damn. Human a damn.
I saw a main event last night on the network.
There you go.
And there he is. He watched the main event on the network.
What's the use of showing on Wednesday nights at Ion Television that I'll show it the night before every week?
I don't know. I kind of wondered about that. So it was basically the same show that was on TV tonight, but it was unedited. I guess so. Like, they played it without commercials. That's even better. You get the show, you get to watch all the matches uninterrupted the night before, and it's like, why would you bother to watch the main event the next night?
It tends to be the same episode.
So I'm just going to say it right here.
I feel like
right now,
Tuesday night should be a special episode, then Wednesday night should still be the regular show.
Main event has moved nights, Jack, and I think this war, we can claim ourselves victorious. We beat the main event. How about it, Jack? They're losers. They can't stand up to the number one podcast in all of the universe.
Yep.
IOIH Wrestling.
You know what, Intro, what I'd like to do?
Yes, sir.
I've got my HBK sunglasses on right now. I think that this main event's been on, what, a year? All right, I think it's time we take main event. And we've been main event over this desk right here. All right? And we whip out the erection of In Your Head. And boom, boom, boom. We are going to sodomize main event right here. We're taking it to Brown Town. In Your Head is sodomizing their ass raping, anal rapage on main event.
There you go.
We are going to humble main event here.
Take it,
live on In Your Head. Take the main event. Take it. Take it. Yeah.
Squeal like a pig.
What do you about that, Jimmy Jam?
I think In Your Head just won the Wednesday Night Wars.
That's right. Good man, Jimmy Jam.
Yep. Good man, Jimmy Jam.
Because what's the use of having main event twice in the same week every week if it's just on the network the night before?
Yeah, well, I would rather watch the live main event than some bullshit.
Exactly. Me too.
Speaking of that, did we talk about NXT last week? The NXT pay-per-view thing with Jake?
No, not much, no. But
I thought that was an excellent show.
Yeah, it was good stuff. He had a lot of good matches. They started out with a good match. It was Cesaro taking on, what's that guy's name? Sam Shaw?
Sami Zayn. I thought that match was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic match.
That was a bad
match. I really like the comment. I think the commentators are the best on the NXT show of TV wrestling.
So was that Albert and William Regal?
No, I don't think it was Albert. It was Regal, the black dude, and some other guy.
Byron Saxton?
Byron Saxon, yeah, and some other guy. I'm not sure. I mean, I've only seen one episode of the show. I'm not really familiar with it, but I thought they did a very good job.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good stuff. You had the women's match there with Emma taking on, what was that girl's name?
Paige.
Oh, she's pretty much Paige. You know what? That was a good match. And, I'm going to admit something here on the show, which I've never talked about before, but I'm not really a big fan of women's wrestling. But I thought this match was very good.
Mm-hmm. You also had...
Emma on Raw, but I was like, you know what? She can go. That was a way better match than like anything the Bellas have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And that other girl's pretty hot. She's pale. And I like her. She's cool. And she's a good wrestler, too.
So just look forward to future episodes where you're perving out on her.
I thought it was good.
You also have Too Cool coming back.
I like that. Too Cool. That's the Ascension. I like this. That was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. And the only match I thought was bad was this, the hype guy. That guy sucks.
He's always hyped.
Like, I'm hyped all the fucking time. I'm fucking hyped. He's a shit. He blows. He fucking sucks.
Yeah, I don't know about that guy.
And I've heard Davey Meltzer, like, just praise this man. Davey Meltzer and you know, little Brian Alvarez. And they're just like, this guy, he's like Triple H. He's salivating over a hype machine. They're like, he's the guy that WWE loves. And then I saw him. I was like, this guy's the shits. He does, like, the earthquake splash, but yeah, he's, like, you know, like a normal-sized guy. That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's a dumb move. You gotta be a big fat ass to do the earthquake splash. Otherwise, it's dumb.
Bo Dallas took on... He was the heavyweight champion of NXT, and he took on, what was that guy's name? I think his name was Pac on...
I've seen him live as Pac before, but now he's, like, Adrian Neville. Which I thought was like a country singer, has that big mole on his face.
It's a very similar name. Aaron Neville.
Yes. So yeah, this I'm not a big fan of the Bo Dallas, but this was a very good match. I think the opening match was better, but it was still very good.
New heavyweight champion in NXT. So.
Yeah, Adrian Neville. I like this guy.
Oh, he's great. He's crazy, the high flying he does.
Yeah. I've seen them live before. I really dig them.
I think all the matches were good.
Yeah, I thought they were all over. And even the hype machine, which I didn't like that match. I just thought it's cool to see new guys. So that was fun. It was like him versus like this really faggy guy who was like this like hippie fag. CJ Parker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of shitty, but it was still as neat. It's like, oh, this is cool. It's like back in the day when you'd see like the ECW Musketeer. It's like, this guy's shit, but you know what? It's just kind of cool. Like, I'm seeing this nothing happening, dude.
Yeah. And I'm going to say it right here, right now, Jack. I'm going to be man enough to admit it. And that is, I think I was wrong about Alexander Rusev.
Really?
He is pretty much indie Bush League.
Yeah, yeah. Just not good.
No, I'm not enjoying it.
And it's very weird. It's like, normally I'm into the dated, like, angles, like a Samoan Savage, or like if they'd have a black guy who'd out there and he'd be eating watermelons and just knocking everybody out with headbutts. Like, that's pretty awesome. Or like, they have like a Nazi. Like, yeah, I'm always up for a Nazi guy. Even if like the World War II Nazi, like, that's pretty cool. But it's like this, I don't know, maybe if he was Russian,
mm-hmm.
if he was like an old school, like...
Just bring back Vladimir Kozlov.
If he was like Ivan Koloff, but like the new Ivan, he's like Ivan Koloff's grandson.
Uh-huh.
But it's like the Rocky IV angle, but like with like whatever the hell, wherever this guy's from.
Bulgaria.
Yeah, I'm not digging it. Yeah. He just looks... schmuck too. Maybe if it was a better guy in the angle, I'd get like a kick out of it. Cause it is so like 1980s. But it's like a Cold War angle in 2014. It's very weird.
And when they put his name on the thing, I think it's like spelled out in Russian or something, or I don't know what the hell it is, but it's just a bunch of scrabbled up letters.
And I think they speak two different languages. It's weird.
It's odd.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the chick?
Well, she's hot, yeah. I mean, her introduction whenever she comes out and she starts saying some whatever word, that's really annoying. But other than that, she's pretty hot.
Beef here in the chat room, he's saying, I'm looking forward to lockdown.
Hell yeah, lockdown. I wasn't too thrilled with this week's TNA. I took up for him so much last week, and this week I think they thoroughly let me down. Do what?
They shit the bed?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably going to go back to the way it was, so. TNA. I don't know. This show didn't impress me too much, so.
The night of MVP's team wins, MVP gets the whole control of TNA.
It's true. It could happen. It's lockdown this week coming up, Jimmy Jam? Is it coming up this week? Okay. Cool.
Yeah, this Sunday.
Cool. So I guess we got that to look forward to. Hope they have that on the network. Oh, wait a minute. That's TNA. You got to pay $30, or how much is a TNA pay-per-view?
40.
It's not one of the free ones. It's an actual pay-per-view.
I think it is an actual pay-per-view.
What's the card on this?
I guess the big match is Bobby Roode.
Stand on stage!
Yeah.
Sorry.
I guess the big match is Bobby Roode with the Bromans taking on MVP's team, and he's got like the what's her name, Davey Richards and the other dude, the American Wolves.
Davey Richards, King of the Wild Frontier.
they're teaming with I guess it's MVP. I can't remember. I think it's MVP. So, yeah, and then they're going to fight who gets the control of the company, I guess.
These real matches?
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. We've got Bad Influence and Chris Sabin versus the great fucking Muda, Sonata, and Tiger Uno in a steel cage.
Oh, my God.
The great Muda's on this show.
I guess so. I didn't know nothing about that.
Shit. That's awesome. I'm going to buy it now just to see the great fucking Muda. He shouldn't even be the great Muda anymore. He should be the great fucking Muda. He should just come out. It's like, the motherfucking great fucking Muda, bitches. And that should be his name. The great fucking Muda. Man, great Muda. What the hell are you doing in the Impact Zone? Is this the Impact Zone?
It probably is.
Oh, man, that's sad.
I'm not sure, though.
He should be unrested. Now, that would be a hell of a match. Great Muda and Sting. Fuck Sting. Great Muda and Undertaker. Undertaker versus Streak. Undertaker, Streak versus Great Muda. Book that one.
WWE?
Yeah. That'd be good.
I am looking forward to the Samoa Joe versus Magnus match. I think that'd be pretty cool.
We also got Mr. Anderson versus Samuel Shaw in a steel cage.
Yeah.
Basically, two matches inside a cage at lockdown.
Is this a battle? Like, if Mr. Anderson wins, like he saves the redheaded bimbo, or Samuel Shaw wins, he kills her.
Yeah, maybe. I did like that. Like they showed on like TNA Impact, like he had like this little like room devoted to Christy Hemme. And then next week she's just like, what the hell was up with that room? I saw it on the last week's show. It's like, that never happens on this show. It's like the person who's on the show actually watched the show. And she's disturbed by what she saw.
Let's see here.
Isn't it so lame they got like a serial killer gimmick?
Over on the Facebook, people are fighting over. Half the people are like, it's fucking awesome! It's and then there's like other people like they should call the police, and like I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Like I don't think you should call the police, because if you start calling the police over everything that happened in wrestling that was law, like you would, it would be a really shitty show.
Yeah.
But I'm not really like in love with this. If you're going to have a serial killer, he has to kill people. So if he starts killing people, I might be into. They're firing guys. I'm kill people. You know what? Let me ask you this, Inger. Hulk Hogan leaves TNA. All right. Which is a better scenario? Hulk Hogan has the president of your company begging at his leg, on her knees, like basically, you know, trying to get the thermos in her mouth to make him stay. Is that better for your company, or your new and upcoming guy slits the throat of Hulk Hogan live on Impact?
I think Hulk Hogan would like the other one, but no.
Yeah, but he's not in your company. You're not looking out for him. He's gone. He's going to WWE. Slit the man's throat. Fucking kill. AJ Styles.
I could look back on, like, the night that TNA killed Hulk Hogan.
So how about AJ Styles? Which is a better scenario? He beats the ass of your entire roster. It takes 50 guys to beat him to kick off your new champion. After this guy leaves, so he can never beat him like on his own, plus this guy that just destroyed everyone is gone. Or he is shot in the back of the head by Sam Shaw. Which is better? Kill it, fucking kill AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm. In storyline, Jack. In story.
Yeah, so I'm saying they really killed the guy, but he's dead now. And then they're like, yeah, you go watch that Raw with the fucking guy's dead. It's not, obviously not the. I don't know how you. Anyway, I guess he would. But, yeah, kill him. Kill him off.
There you go.
Or he could do something where they're in a coma. So, like, he poisons AJ Styles, and like, holy shit, now he's in a coma. He's fucking brain dead. And then if AJ Styles ever decides to come back, oh, fucking miracle! AJ Styles just came out of his coma. He's no longer a vegetable. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a money feud. You're like, you know what? I was comatose for a year. I lost a year of my life. I was brain dead. Because of Sam Shaw! Now I'm back! I'm gonna beat the fucking the Taz of the Greek! He's got, like, Abe Vigoda or Michael Sammy? I don't know, some guy I never heard of! He's got him as comeback of the year! Imagine a comeback! AJ Styles on his deathbed, he's vegetable, he's comatose! He's just like the guy that he just broke a guy's neck. He's just like that guy.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
and fun. Then he comes back. He's like, I'm out. I'm all better. It's like that. Wasn't there a movie back in the day with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Mm-hmm.
When he was in a coma, and then he just got out of it. He was in a coma for like 10 years.
I'm sure there's a few Van Damme movies like that.
He's like, I'm all better now. I'm just going to jump right out of bed after being in a coma for 8 years, and I'm starting kicking ass.
Would that be the fine film known as Time Cop?
No, that's not Time Cop.
Shoot.
But that could be AJ Styles. He's like, I'm comatose.
Now I'm better.
So, like, Sam Shaw could be like, he could drown guys. I don't know. Seagal, hard to kill. I don't think that's it either. I'm pretty sure it's a van. Maybe it is a Seagal movie. I don't know. It was some bullshit movie in the 80s. Or late 90s, early 90s. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You've got a serial killer storyline. He's got to kill people. And if not, he sucks. He's a failure of a serial killer. Hmm. He's like the twins. Who are those big jacked up twins? The two Nazis.
The Harris twins.
He's like the Harris twins of serial killers. Because the Harris twins are two neo-Nazis. They're two white supremacists who covered their Nazi tattoos that they had tattooed on their flesh to show their support for the superior race. They had those covered up to work for two Jewish guys, proving that not only they blow as wrestlers. Horrible. But they're not even devoted to being white supremacists. So if you you've got a serial killer who's not even killing nobody, he is a failure. If he's a serial killer, he's gonna kill people. Duke the Dumpster Drozzi actually had empty trash. Doink actually had to amuse children. If that's your gimmick, you gotta do it. So he's gotta kill folks, is what I'm saying. If you're doing it, go balls out, murder. I wanna see murder on Impact. Kill people.
Storyline.
Yeah. Yes, storyline. Oh, so there's other matches here. Let's see. There's Madison Rain versus Gail Kim in a steel cage.
I wasn't too excited until you said in a steel cage. Hell yeah.
What is
this?
All right, so I don't care about that much. We got Kurt Angle versus EC3 in a steel cage!
I don't recall any build-up on Impact to this one.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
I can't recall any, but maybe there has been some. I don't know. Beats me.
I don't know either. We got Team MVP. MVP, the Wolves, and a Mystery Man. Versus Team Dixie. Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and the Bromans. In a steel cage!
Yes, sir. I think MVP is going to win this one.
Team MVP.
How many minutes do we have? $190 even.
Damn. Get some cash over here.
Make him a buck.
Then, main event, Inchman, steel cage, heavyweight championship, Agnes, Samoa Joe. As I just said, in a steel cage!
Where was it going to be at?
In a steel cage!
Oh, that's where it's at. Hell yeah. I'm down with that match. Mm-hmm. Sounds like good stuff to me.
I like Samoa Joe.
Yeah, it's nice that they're, like, building him up to actually be something in TNA, so I'm kind of happy about that. Hopefully they do something good with him.
Joe's going to kill you. They got that. Mm-hmm. Man, they got a lot of killing going on in TNA.
Yeah, they're all about it anymore.
It could be a feud in the future. Battle of the Murderers. Joe and Samuel Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
He could be like Dexter, where he's just killing the bad serial killers.
I think that guy's pretty much directly ripping off Dexter.
Yeah, but he's fighting the good people, though. The villain.
Oh, yeah. I don't get that. I mean, he's dressed up just like Dexter.
Yeah. Killing. What do you think? Do you think he should have one? Now, if you're going to have a serial killer, does he have one method where he kills people? Like, he's a stabber? He's a bomb expert. Or do you have it where you're going to use your imagination and where he's going to use different ways of killing people?
He should, like, be into, like, asphyxiation, like where he, like, smothers people.
That's a good one. You can just carry pillows.
Mm-hmm. Kills people right in the ring, right before everybody.
They'd be like, why is this a pillow match? And then it's like, just starts smothering.
He just gets somebody down, starts smothering them right in the ring.
Uh-huh.
And you just see legs kicking.
That'd be awesome. Just imagine, like, when they got rid of Don West. That's a beloved character. I love Don West. You better do
no,
it.
Jack, don't do that. Don't
get
do it.
Don Meg special. You hear me? And he's screaming, and Madman Maple, he's on the line. He's like, I gotta borrow this, I gotta open it up on YouTube. And then, like, Sam Shaw just comes in and grabs that brown bag, puts it over Don West's head, and then just freaking starts beating him with a baseball bat.
How could you kill Don West?
heel heat.
Poor Don West.
That total heel heat.
Damn.
You then he'd come out and you're like, oh fuck, that's a guy who killed Don West.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, damn, I hope Christopher Daniels beats him. Killed Don West.
Some of the fans will probably give him a good response for that. It's like, yeah, he killed Don West.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't, I mean, we love him here on the show, but he wasn't the most beloved character.
I loved him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I loved him. I loved him a lot. Big
Ruddy Piper voice. All right. Inchman.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since we heard from her. We got Miss D on the line, Miss Destiny. It is our destiny to talk to Miss Destiny.
Hey, Jack, what's going on?
Not much. Let's talk about some murder.
Oh, who murdered who?
Murder.
Nobody yet.
Who done it? It's a mystery.
Evolution is a mystery. I'll make a change. It's no one
sees. Was it Professor Plum in the observatory with the candlestick?
What? Yes, exactly. That's a game of Clue. They can make a game of Clue with Sam Shaw. You're like, who did it?
Sam Shaw. We saw it.
Yes, it's been a long time since I've talked to you guys.
Mm-hmm. You missed us?
Mm-hmm.
Better have, baby. Better missed us.
Remember, and I have a new title to my life list of accomplishments.
Uh-oh, what's this title?
Auntie.
Auntie, that means that her brother has had a baby.
My stepbrother.
Stepbrother. Like the movie, the Arnold classic.
Her name is Willow.
Really? Like the movie?
Mm-hmm. And I just found out he's going to have another baby.
Really?
It might be a second girl or a first boy.
Oh. That's usually how it happens.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's either it's a 50-50 chance.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
It's not going to be like a bush.
And I would like to extend an olive branch to somebody in the Hennyverse.
Uh-oh. Who's that?
No, it's a good thing.
Alright.
I would like to extend an olive branch to one known as Jujubee.
Alright, Juju, if you're listening, Miss Destiny is extending the olive branch to you.
If I may have offended her in any way, shape, or form, I humbly apologize. And I hope that I forgive her if she's ever done anything to offend me. And I'm going to start a clean slate with Juju.
Well, you don't see the check on the coffee table, so, yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
I think he came in, grab it, and just... Yeah.
Fucking money.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm extending the olive branch to be at peace talks with Juju.
Now,
there you go.
Not on the table no more, so that means
now
he...
Now
this is a podcast. Right. Eat your heart out, Stone Cold.
I hate to say this, Jack. Lately, I've been so happy. I've been laughing like a combination of Chucky, a hyena, and the demented Pillsbury Doughboy.
There you go. I'm going to poke you. I'm going to get you. With my finger.
One time I laughed at her and I almost shat my pants.
Now you're talking interest language. Now you're doing it for interest.
Yeah.
Interest go. Interest the show. He was asking. He was asking the guest if his nunchuck skills were doing it for her.
Mm-hmm.
You've just done it for interest.
Mm-hmm. So how's everything going?
Yeah. Of Beavis and Butthead. Oh, boy.
Mrs. D.
So how's everything going up in Massachusetts?
Talk about your boom boom.
I don't know if I can do my video, but I think Jack and Incher and everybody here who's watching my camera deserves a treat.
Oh, let's do it up, Mrs. D.
You can do it.
Take off the dick off the top. Let's reenact the cat.
No, Jack, you wanted to show you my plaid pajamas.
What pay-per-view was it?
Armageddon 99.
Really?
Yes. Me? Jack?
What's like, what time does it happen? Do you have like the time memorized?
I can get the time signature for you, but... Hello, hi. Mrs. D.
I don't see anything.
She's up there now. She's waving at us.
What?
I'm just seeing a circle going around.
No.
Oh, well. Is she...
Hey, Andrew, you want to see a little surprise?
Oh!
Yes.
Showing the tatas to the Inch Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. She's got the short shorts on. The Daisy Dukes.
Oh, yeah. Shaking the rump.
Play rump shaker.
Yeah.
Do it up for his DJ.
There you go, Jack.
Here.
You got this one USDA fine butt right
here. Yeah, Alfred knows about me, but... Well, I'm an ass man.
So what do you think about the WrestleMania card coming up, Jack?
It's bullshit. What do you think, Ishman?
I think they should have more than one challenger for the Divas title.
Oh, yeah. They should have at least 15.
And I know three people in mind. Mm-hmm. I think they should do Naomi.
Oh, yeah. I that is really what would sell me on WrestleMania if Naomi was going for the title.
I'm a big Naomi guy.
And I also would do Nikki Bella.
Oh, yeah. I just can't get enough of the Bellas.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a fresh face that has never challenged AJ before. Summary.
There, oh man, WrestleMania would be spy. I would like, you know what? I'm not even gonna buy this on. I'm not even just watch this on my network. I'm gonna buy it for $60.
You gotta shell out the hard earned cash for that one.
Forget Swag wouldn't be getting up and walking out of that match. Hell yeah! Epic.
So what's going on, Jimmy J? What's going on, buddy?
Did you hear this morning? Everybody lost the network for a while because a lot of people were watching it all at once.
There's
and
a Gunner T-shirt over on Shop TNA, and it's just a G. It's just a shirt.
Remember?
That's creativity, right?
By the way, Jack, I whacked the leg.
What?
Just for you.
I like you nice and smooth, Misty. Slippery.
And I'm not telling you what else I whack.
Oh, a little higher up.
What do you mean higher up?
Than the legs.
You mean the hoo-ha?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I cannot confirm or deny that allegation.
Now we're speaking my language. Mm-hmm.
We don't need to shill penis pills on this show.
No, because we're real men. We get erections on our own insurance.
I guess we can be proud of that. Woo-ah.
Hey, I'll pop a cold Diet Coke for you, Jack.
Pop a nut for you, Miss D.
that's rather direct, Jack.
Yuck.
All right, let's all be goofy tonight.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm goofy.
That's because I'm on a break. I hate to admit it, but I had a little mopey Friday last week. But now I'm on new medication, because I'm on new medication, and it's for the better.
There you go. There you go.
It's called Latuda.
Latuda?
L-A-T-U-D-A.
Uh-huh.
And it's to treat my bipolar medication. Disorder.
I understand. Well, you need that. You need to stay a level.
Yeah. I'm also on Lamictal and lithium carbonate.
Okay.
Right. And as long as I'm on all three of them, you'll get the happy-go-lucky Lisa.
I got something you could wash all those meds down with.
What do you have in mind?
A nice hot shot of Jack.
Jack Daniels alcohol? Sure, bring it.
No, but sure, we'll start into there.
There you go, so, Jack. There's your way in.
I've never had Jack Daniels.
Well, just close your eyes, open your mouth, extend your tongue, and say ah for me.
Jack, you silly goose.
All right, Inchman. So, I think that about wraps up the show.
Yeah, I don't know what else we can cover tonight, but
yeah. They've got the TNA Maximum Impact Tour T-shirt, so you can talk about the tour of Europe, I guess.
How much is it right now?
$25.
Just wait a month or so, and it'll be like $2.
Jack, I just have a little note for Swax if he's listening. Did you hear that his beloved Brooke Tessmacher has deleted all her social media pages?
Oh.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That is some big time
she
stuff.
She needs some fucking Latuda, man.
She needs a can of tuna.
Oh,
I'll eat the can of tuna as long as it doesn't have too much of that oil in it.
Mm-hmm. So why did she delete all her social media accounts? Her Facebook or MySpace?
Bitches be crazy.
I just found out today. I'll try to do my homework and come up with the reason later on. And
that is a false report.
Oh, it's false. He's saying it's false.
He's calling you out, Mrs. D. He's calling you
that
out.
That is a false report.
You can get a Bow for Glory autographed turnbuckle entry signed by the whole Impact, the whole TNA locker room.
What are the odds of that ever being anything of value? I'd say it's pretty low.
Yeah.
It will never be worth any more than what the face value was.
EGO. I EC3 shirt is horrible. It's EC3. Chris Sabin's shirt is CS. There's a Kenny King shirt. No one knows who the hell's buying a Kenny King shirt. Who's EGO?
He needs his own stable called Kenny King's Clan. With 3Ks.
Uh-huh. Now, who the hell is EGO? Honestly, who is that?
EGO.
Who the hell is EGO? It's a t-shirt. EGO, ego, I guess. I'm just better than you. Who is that?
I think that's the faction with Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian. The Extreme Gentlemen's Club. Organization.
I thought they were bad influence or something.
That influence is just Kaz and Christopher Daniels, except Bobby Roode.
No.
I got a funny feeling Bobby Roode's going to be turning face at the pay-per-view this Sunday.
Bobby. Oh, Bobby. What do you think, Entry? Do you think he's a turn face?
It's possible, but I don't know. If he gets control of the company, he'll probably just be...
Well, I do hope my beloved Taryn Terrell will get back in the ring. And she just delivered her baby about a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a girl. Emerson Terrell.
Huh. Well, hopefully she gets back into fighting shape very soon.
I was trying to pull up WWE Shop Zone, but I can't get WWE to load.
Really?
Well, there is this big thing that I found out about Mickey James and Taryn Terrell when it came to Bound for Glory last
week. Bound for Glory! Shout out to William Maury! Whoa! Bound for Glory!
BFG, baby. And sure, here's the thing. Taryn Terrell was slated and penciled in to defeat Mickey James to get the Knockouts Heavyweight Championship at Bound for Glory.
No, she don't get it because she's having a baby.
Yeah, she got pregnant. So standing.
Well, I just have to say, fuck that baby.
Hey,
sorry,
be nice.
That was a request from the chat room.
Song man, he's like, oh my god, I can't believe you said
that. The worst thing I ever heard. I'm telling twists.
Hey, Chad, you wanna play match decider?
All right, let's hear this up.
All right, like let's say game. That you're Vince McMahon and I'm one of the members of the creative team.
Uh huh.
And this match is gonna be at WrestleMania.
Uh huh. WrestleMania!
It is a five-person, elimination-style, high-flying international brawl for all.
All right, I get you.
And I shall say the name of the country first, and then the competitor.
All right, let's see what it says.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Introducing first, representing Canada, Tyson Kidd.
Oh, man. He wished me a happy birthday. He sent me an email. Wishing me a-
representing Ghana, West Africa, Kofi Kingston.
Alright.
Representing Mexico, Sin Cara.
Sin Cara.
Representing South Africa, Cape Town District, Justin Gabriel.
Got a lot of foreigners. Uh-huh.
And representing the United States of America, Evan Bourne.
Holy shit.
It's just like 4 a.m. this morning.
Exactly.
Oh, so who would you pencil in to win that match?
I don't know. I think Justin Gabriel would take it.
Justin.
And who would the runner-up be?
Gabriel.
Kofi Kingston.
So Kofi would get pinned by Justin.
Yeah.
Alright. Although I would like to see I like to see Carl.
Over at WWE Shop Zone. Hulk Hogan merchandise is in! They've got a package or deal. You can get the Hulk Hogan package, and I'm not talking about the thermos entry. You can get the Hulkamania t-shirt, a bandana, a red, and a yellow. Thingamajig, you look like the fucking manager.
Oh, man, I need to go over there and get that. How much is that thingamajig?
So it's a Hulk Hogan Hulkamania shirt, bandana, and a red and a yellow boa. For the low, low price, you can get it red or yellow, the shirt and bandana, or you can get them both, and you can mix up for only $39.99.
Hey, Jack.
Also get a Hulk Hogan flag shirt. You can also get a Hulkster Rule shirt. You can also get a Hulk Rule shirt, or you can get a Hulkamania Comes Home Still Running Wild shirt.
Awesome. I want them all.
Hey, Jack, my city, Tampa, is going to be hosting a pay-per-view in a few months.
There's an Animal Lover George Animal Steel shirt up on the site. There's an old school Captain Lou Albano. Captain Lou! Oh, my God.
Captain Lou.
There's an Iron Sheik?
There's real world champion.
They still buy it selling as barbecue sauce.
The JRs?
Mm-hmm.
They must have a lot of that stuff left over, I guess.
What? Papa Shango? There's a Papa Shango shirt!
My God.
See, I would wear that. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Shango. Sweet. You know what else they have up here?
Well,
they got the all-new Cesaro shirt, which is very nice, I'll have to say. They also have NXT merchandise.
Huh. I want to break some news.
News bullshit.
About the book test marker stuff. As of right now,
just
what
the doctor
ordered. Social media accounts are currently down.
See? She was right.
What I'm suspecting.
He was right, Misty. You were right, Misty.
Mm-hmm. He's admitting
what
it. He's saying it right now that you were right, Mrs. D.
What I'm suspecting
100% correct.
Let him talk.
Whoa! Look at that!
Whoa, putting me in that place.
What I am suspecting right
I
now...
I just got latunalized.
She took down all these social media pages.
Oh, my God!
Is I think she might have gotten her life threatened.
You know what, Intra?
Can you let me go Friday?
I was very shocked. I was watching Raw. This is something I forgot to bring up. But
I think somebody must have
during the Shield versus the Wyatt's match.
I don't know where I'm going to see my girlfriend again, because her mom is really still pretty a lot angry at her than she was. No, because her mom's still on stress.
Like, there's some people
not work.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
It's a Honky Tonk Man shirt.
Oh, Honky Tonk Man shirt, you say?
Sweet. It's got like a giant Honky Tonk Man caricature, and then the back is Honky Tonk Man. I'm not a fan of Warrior, but the Warrior shirt is awesome. It's just like his face paint on the front.
Oh.
Hey, Jack, if I can.
There's a Vader shirt with the Vader mask on the
front. It's Vader.
Vader. Tom. I watched the Vader. Not you shoot, but the timeline. Very good.
Cool. Hey Jack, if my brother and I get tickets to the Battleground Pizza,
Bam Bigelow, what are you saying?
If my brother and I get tickets for the Battleground pay per view in July, that's coming to Tampa, you watch us.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
so anyway, it was the Shield versus the Wyatt's injury, and the Wyatts were out there, and who's the Wyatt used to be Brody Lee.
That's, God, what is that guy's name?
Luke Harper?
Is he Luke Harper?
Yeah, Luke Harper.
The one without the sheep's mask is Luke Harper.
Yeah,
the
Luke
one
Harper's
with-
out there, and according to the gay hanky code, not only this week was he a hard S&M top, he is also a fister. So I think that was pretty hardcore stuff. I would stay out of his way. That's like bad news.
Well, so don't want to mess with that dude. That's probably what he's thinking about when he looks at the camera and goes, yeah.
That's bad time. All right, I think I've had enough.
I think I had enough an hour ago.
All right, well, it's been fun. And we will see you guys here back next week, the same any time, same any channel.
200 hours.
We may have a guest on. We may have. We may have Brian Dan.
Natural 52.
We may have Natural
52
on the show.
Learn to use the mute button.
There's a
that came out. That comes out automatically.
He doesn't hear us. Alrighty. See you all next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, and this is Big Van Vader coming at you live and in color. It's full time.